PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Now I have repaid any debt I may have owed you. You know all that I know. My voice is the only proof that you will have of the truth of any of this. I might have written the letter with my signature, but my handwriting is not what it used to be. Maybe you've had the presence of mind to record this. That's your prerogative. You will not be contacted by me again.
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The Videodrome.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Oh, snap, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 254 of Cinema.
You're supposed to breathe when you talk so people can hear what you're saying.
Woo!
Good to hear that.
Already rubbing his face in exasperation. How's it going, Drew Sikogber? And Drew getting the early. What's up, Drew?
It already starts in the toilet. I guess only go up there.
Exactly. When you start in the toilet, you just swim your way out like the world's scariest cockroach. Right up your beehole.
Right.
Drew, how you doing?
Up your beehole? A cockroach up your beehole? You must have very tiny cockroach, very large
very
beehole.
Aggressive beehole.
Oh, what?
This has started terribly. This has started terribly. This is really bad. We should really restart, but we're not going to.
Because we never do.
Because we never do. Because that's dishonest. Dishonest. This is our level of podcastery, and you have to deal with it. First off, your threat update. Current threat level, Drew, is maroon. What a maroon, this guy.
You are a maroon.
Current threat level is maroon. Your valuables are impractical.
Correct.
Your valuables are impractical. Drew.
Chris.
We have a guest here that I'm very excited to have.
Do we?
Yes, because we... Yes, you see him.
Do I?
And people see the title of the episode and the show art. They know what's going on. But we're very excited to have this guest because we have a great podcasting community. And he is... so many podcasters. We still haven't gotten around to all of them. We've been doing this for years.
What if we have a blind listener who doesn't see things? What if they don't know?
Fair enough. Well, then for that person, they're in suspense. What suspense for our blind listener, our one blind listener.
I'm sure he, she exists somewhere.
He exists somewhere. Who is our guest? Well, he is here to give us his blessings. Many blessings. Vastly blessings. Delicious tidings to you, Drew. With us from BYOCB, we had Chris Fisher here before. We said we're Team Fisher, but now we're also Team Morehead. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Morehead is here.
My pleasure's upon you. Pleasure's upon you.
Yes, thank you.
I prefer large cockroaches and large buttholes. The combination of those two.
Okay. Okay.
So it's still a battle. Even though you got the large butthole, it's still a battle for the large cockroach to get in there.
I don't want it to struggle too much. I want it to consensually enjoy it as well.
Oh, okay. We're talking about consensual cockroach enjoyment.
Because obviously you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Is there no... it's an attack. From below.
He doesn't seem to think that.
Well, I guess you could like it.
In fast food culture, cockroaches are important because that's how you rate how good the checkers you're at is going to be. How many cockroaches? Yeah, 100%.
That makes sense. As I'm actually, no joking, one of my favorite greasy spoons ever growing up
in Manhattan, if you went in during the right time of day, you'd get a nice whiff of Raid spray coming out of the kitchen. So you know what's going on. You know, but yeah. it's New York City. It's an old establishment. You can't get away from them.
Right.
They're a part of life. They were here before us. Mm-hmm. They'll be here after
long after us.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, respect to the cockroaches, man. I think I killed like 4 this week. It's been a gross week.
At least to the big ones.
They've been pretty big.
The big ones are fine, because that means that they're not German cockroaches. The German cockroaches, you get German cockroaches in your house, you are. It's over. You will never get them.
Yeah, well, they come in so fast, and then just, they blitzkrieg you. Yeah,
there you go. They're
You never get rid of them.
They're the smaller ones?
Yeah, the smaller type. Because when they're full grown, they look like the baby big cockroaches. The big ones, if you see big cockroaches around your house, that's fine. Those are regular Florida cockroaches.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers.
They're everywhere.
But if you fog your house, you'll get rid of them all.
The German cockroaches.
German cockroaches survive everything. Yeah, everywhere. They don't go away. Once you get them in your house, they're in your house.
Well, then I guess when we do our Reno here, which is happening soon, it'll also be fog crazy. Because why not fill up a home full of poison?
I mean, why not? Yeah.
I mean, it's fun. Yeah. And then you get to come back, and then you just like, you run your dishes through the wash once, and you're good to go. Is that how that works?
Sure. Yes. And make sure you lick everything.
Drew has experience with bug bombs.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, gosh.
Ah, Drew. It's been a while, Drew.
I used to wage genocide on fleas on like a monthly basis.
Drew was a traveling flea circus salesman, and it bit him in the butt one day, and he took his work home, and then he couldn't get rid of it for a long, long time.
For a long time. I was waging war, like almost weekly sometimes.
He would move, and then they would just follow him.
Yep.
But we're not here to relive past glories.
No, we're not.
We're here to talk about the future. I don't know what I'm talking about. Guys, Alex, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm going to derail the show again and again with just like the cockroach saying, my apologies.
No, that's the thing. The show lives off the rails. There are no rails. The show exists in a word. Where did they put the trains when they retire them?
The trash?
In the train graveyard. This show exists in the train graveyard because we are so off the rails, it's not even possible to get back on. It's fine. That's why people listen to the show. That's why people come here. And we're going to have a good time, man. So let's go ahead and get started with... eBay hit me with an email. Go screw yourselves, eBay. I'm trying to make some money.
They want you to sell some stuff.
They make their money. We are going to start with the good old streaming pick of the week. So here we go. Here's that drop. Whilst I drink.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming pick of the week, week. Oh, that was the wrong one. That was the high-pitched one. We were messing around with the Simon Time Trivia Show. And I wanted to do the echo. Anyway, it doesn't matter, guys. Cinema Crespediso streaming pick of the week. We do this every week. We let you know what's out there to watch on either Amazon, Hulu, maybe an HBO or Showtime, something like that. They're just... I did it myself the other day. I spent 40 minutes scrolling through Netflix and Amazon. Like, maybe I should watch this. I'm looking for the right movie that's an hour and a half long. By then, it's like, now I'm down to an hour. Yeah. I'm like, now I'm going to watch a TV show. Which show should I watch? Oh, these shows are an hour. Yeah, just went to bed. That's not entertaining, scrolling through titles for an hour.
40 minutes.
God damn it. So we're here to help you people. At least one night this week, you can watch. What, Alex?
You guys are going to love this because it's one of a show that or a movie that comes up a lot on this thing. But it's What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah!
Amazon Prime. Yeah,
perfect. Taika Waititi is What We Do in the Shadows.
Yep.
I think they added it back pretty recently. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Amazon, yeah.
On Amazon. Is it available anywhere else in case people
know? Not streaming right now.
Well, then it might be worth renting.
Renting.
Google, one of the few Google movies Play, I would say it's
Fandango,
worth.
Fandango, Vudu, PlayStation, Microsoft.
They can rent on any of those options. Sure thing. Taika Waititi now, obviously, the hot property because of Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
I hope, that it's made a good amount of money, so hopefully he'll be able to make more, like, big-budget Hollywood films, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because Hollywood can use, no offense, gentlemen.
More brown people.
More brown people, less white dudes. and Taika Waititi, man, he's as brown as it gets. Half Maori from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Getting to make, like, a huge Hollywood film. I can't wait to see what he does next. What We Do in the Shadows is... hysterical.
That's one of the best movies, dude. You know when you watch Interview with the Vampire and you're like, God, this sucks.
Yeah. and like it should be. Well, the thought those are Anne Rice vampires.
Yeah, they're different vampires.
They're
totally
like,
different.
They're like, being a vampire is great, full stop. There's like nothing bad about this at all.
Funny thing is, I mean, this is almost a spoof on that kind of vampire, though.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely. So. Well, that kind of vampire, the Nosferatu,
right?
Count Orlog vampire. What was his name? Peter?
Peter, I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's
Peter. Yeah, and they're all scared of Peter.
Yeah.
Peter's the weird one.
Yeah, they're making fun of all of them. So I guess Taika Waititi plays the dandy Anne Rice vampire.
Peter spelled P-E-T-Y-R.
Y-R, because it's old Peter. It's old Peter. Jermaine Clement's like the 20th century which one does he play? What
kind of vampire is he? He's Vlad the Impaler. He is straight up.
Oh, he's Vlad the Impaler.
He's Dracula.
And then
but he's a pussy now because he's so like nobody impales anybody anymore. No one's afraid of like big aggro. Like no one's afraid of the dark scary guy anymore.
That's true.
Like, he's goth.
That's
and everyone's
true.
Like fuck you, dude.
They're just annoyed by him. They come across the group of dudes and they're werewolves. Like werewolves.
They all like aggro out.
Yeah, they're a bunch of bros. And they're like, oh! They're still talking about making that movie a spinoff. Werewolves.
Oh, really?
Movie. Yeah,
that would be so rad.
It would be fun. Especially if Waititi does it, you know. At least produce it. At least write it. At least write it, Waititi. Yeah, man, it's such a fun movie where I think even, obviously, it helps if you're into vampire lore.
Yeah.
Vampire movies, if you have that background already. And there are a couple scenes where, like, there's that scene where he tries to, like, he bites a dude's neck to get the blood, but then it goes wrong and, like, he hits an artery and it sprays. He's like, and he's trying to get it in his mouth. It's so, like,
weird and funny.
Over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've all done that with the Capri Sun. I mean, it's the exact same situation.
Yeah, so an old juice box, you get the shit and squirts in your face. God, why did they make those so tight? It helps to have that background, but I also feel like I could show this movie to my mom.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
She would still, like, find it funny because the humor is just so good.
Solid film.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Man, great pick. Good timing, too, with Thor Ragnarok still being in theaters. People, watch What We Do in the Shadows and then go see Thor Ragnarok. And then see The Hunt for the Wilder People, which we've talked about on the show a bunch
of times. And you'll be like, what the fuck is going on?
You'll be like, oh, why is this guy, how does he make so many different styles of movies? But they're all so funny and so good. But also, here's the thing. Waititi is not just funny, but he knows, like, storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to do character arcs and just proper plotting so that a movie
it's always paced right.
It's paced right because he's hitting the emotional beats. You don't even realize it's happening because it's joke. But then at the same time, just like in Thor, which we'll talk about in a minute, the characters are they evolve still.
Oh, yeah.
Thor evolves the most in Ragnarok than he has in all of his other movies combined. You know, he's always just Thor Odinson. I guess in the first one, there's a little bit of... He goes from impetuous to slightly less impetuous in the very first one. Yeah. That's Kenneth Branagh. What are you going to do? What We Do in the Shadows. Great. I'm going to write that down, Drew. I forgot to do that. What We Do. Blah, 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 dot, dot, dot. I know what those dots mean.
Do you?
We'll find out in about an hour. All right, time to talk about some money. Stupid. Box office recap. Imagine the dollars falling from the sky, Drew. Slow motion dollars, coins, gold coins flipping in circles, our faces on them on both sides.
Everything's all flashy. It's like a Puff Daddy video.
Yes. Imagine a 90s Puff Daddy video.
Yes.
But with movie titles scrolling by. Yes. Here we go. Box office recap. Drew, where are we starting our top five?
Number five.
All right.
Murder on the Orient Express. Made $13.8 million, total of 51.
Do I need to see that?
I don't think so. Not in theaters because the reviews aren't that great. This was a type of movie where, I think I mentioned this last week with Heather Shaw, I tried watching the original Sidney Lumet film, and I couldn't get past, like, 30 minutes into it. It was a very talky movie.
I'm just burnt out on Johnny Depp.
Oh, I think everyone's burnt out on Johnny Depp, but it's also a small, I'm pretty sure the gangster role is a much smaller role.
Okay.
I think the gangster's one is the murder.
He's
the one who dies. So, like, he's in the beginning, and then he's dead. And then
maybe I'll see it then.
And then everyone else. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing with, like, Edge of Tomorrow. People are like, I was like, if you don't like Tom Cruise, you should see Edge of Tomorrow.
Because he dies so many times.
He dies like 20 times that movie.
The only Tom Cruise movie I like. I'm not even shitting you.
Not even the Mission Impossible movie?
Hated him. Wow. I hated him. He was the least likable part of Tropic Thunder for me.
Wow.
And Cameron Diaz ruined Night and Day movies for me. I don't know why.
Cameron Diaz too?
Don't watch Night and Day.
So have you seen Night and Day?
No. If I was captured by an extremist group and they tied me to a chair and they wanted to really torture me, that's what they would do.
You need to see that movie now.
No.
No, that is so funny. Oh man, I wish Night and Day was a better movie and I could defend it and be like, oh, see it. Yeah, it's very forgettable. It has like some decent parts, but it's a very whatever movie. Man, even Mission Impossible, I loved some of those Mission Impossible movies. Some of them, not all of them, but I love some of them. Like the first one's more of a Brian De Palma movie than it is a Mission Impossible movie. It's so,
yeah,
it's got his style anyway. Man, that is hysterical. And they exist. He's like the two people that I dislike the most, and they're
insane.
And they're in a movie together. Well, what movie were we talking about anyway? Now we've gone down the
top. Murder on the Orient Express.
The reviews are very much like what's the Rotten Tomato rating was like 6 out of 10.
Right.
The overall aggregate score is like 55%. So it's very much like it doesn't seem like it's a bad movie in any way.
Sure.
But it also doesn't seem like no one's like, oh my God, you got to see Murder on the Orient Express. You know, that's what I was waiting for.
Catch it when it comes out of the Stream of the Week box.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or even then, we'll see.
Apparently, it's not even as good as the first one, which is apparently unwatchable.
Well, I'm not saying unwatchable. I'm just saying for whatever reason. And then this was like a decade ago, too. So maybe I could sit down and check it out now. It's not at all unwatchable. That first movie is actually very extravagant, and the production design is insane for its time. The cast is insane for its time. It's a Sidney Lumet movie. I don't know. I think he did after Dog Day Afternoon, so he was like very hot at that moment. It's human error, viewer error on that one, as opposed to the movie itself. You know what I'm saying? But then again, I don't know. I'm not an Agatha Christie fan. Are you guys into Agatha Christie?
Fuck no.
Not my usual go-to Tuesday night.
Right?
It's not my usual thing.
I feel like that's very old school, Agatha Christie. Do people even know? Do the kids know who Agatha Christie is?
I mean, if they're into, if they're in some sort of literature class in either high school or college, then yes, they probably know who Agatha Christie is. Beyond that, no.
So then you're talking about nerds. Nerd kids may know who Agatha Christie
Correct.
Is. Nerds.
She's so old, though. She's Sagatha Christie now.
Oh! Number four this week.
That's the oh snap drop.
Daddy's home too.
When you get oh snap, you got
$14.8 million.
$50 million for Daddy's Home too on a budget of what?
69.
Barely going to make its money back, but that's a decent amount of dough for a family film featuring Mel Gibson. What does that say?
I can't stand that dude.
I like him as an artist, but I don't want to
support... It's hard to support him. Yes. I know you guys kind of hashed that out a little bit with Heather Shaw last week.
But, yeah, we did actually get into that a bit.
But yeah, same thing, man. And I love... that's the one with... who else in that? Will Ferrell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow's
awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
So good. Almost... bounces out the seemingly evilness of Mel Gibson, the wonderfulness of John Lithgow, who seems like no more heroes, but he seems like a nice guy in real life.
Yeah.
He seems like another type of Tom Hanks type. You see all these joke articles they're always putting out now, the same headline, another actress comes forward saying...
Tom Hanks is the funniest...
Accusing Tom Hanks of being nice.
Great or nice or funny or...
Yeah, it's all the same.
Oh, if we find out that he, like, burns dogs alive, like, it's over, right? We just shut everything down.
He's a child monster of some sort. Yeah. Right? We find out the worst thing about him, then it's like, we all kill ourselves in unity.
He's actually much. Chad Kroeger the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Responsible Boom. For Nickelback.
No! No! Nickelback, no! Yeah, he is all Smash Mouth. He just moves around really fast.
And Guy Fieri, which, I mean, same thing, right? Same thing.
For halfway for jokes and giggles, halfway because it was the only place still serving breakfast, I ate at Guy Fieri restaurant in Vegas.
Oh, yeah? Was it good?
Yeah. It was okay.
Something about that dude makes me want to punch him in his face.
Something about him makes everyone.
It's the look. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the glasses, upside down glasses on the back of the head.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
The bleach blonde tips that are a relic of the early 2000s.
I could abide the bleach blonde. Have you seen him without the bleach blonde tips?
Have you seen?
He just looks like a porcupine. He just looks like a porcupine. With the tips, that actually works better for him.
It works better with his board shorts, sandals, and flame
shirts.
Flame shirts.
Yeah. His black and red flame shirts. Uh-huh. Listen, he's a millionaire. It's all good.
he's filthy rich.
He seems like a nice dad. He's got a boy. He has an outdoor kitchen to die for.
I would kill him for that kitchen.
But then what? You're gonna take the kitchen?
Yes. No, I'll just throw it in the back of your car. He'll be dead. I'll just move into his house.
Just move into his house. Yeah. And then pretend to be him. Now we're getting into a Weekend at Bernie's situation. Weekend at Bernie's 3, Drew Sakai kills Guy Fieri, moves into his house, and when people come by to visit Guy, he has to like he's always carrying Guy around.
And then in the sequel to that one, the second half of the new trilogy, when you play shitty 90s or early 2000s cock rock, like Disturbed and
he starts dancing.
Godsmack.
Yeah. He starts dancing. And he's moving around.
Yeah.
That is, guys, I'm cutting this part of the show out. I'm going to mail it to us, and then we're going to make that and make a lot of money. That's going to be fantastic. What were we talking about?
Number 3 this week.
Oh, yeah.
Thor Ragnarok.
Here we go.
Made $21.78 million. Total of $247 domestic.
I wonder if, could it get to 300? Maybe.
Another $494 in.
There we go. That's a number.
$738 worldwide.
If it manages to get to $800 million worldwide, then that would put Thor Ragnarok in Spider-Man, Batman territory.
Fucking Thor, dude.
And it's third Thor movie on top of that. Yeah. You know, it's crazy that that character could produce a movie on the level of like the most iconic comic book movies made, because $800 million is like rarefied air. Yeah. Suicide Squad got up there, which is, I would imagine, a lot of that has to go to Will Smith.
It just proves with the right story,
right marketing,
and the right marketing and the right everything.
Get your elements in place.
Yeah,
you can market something to
you
a
can
huge
do it. You
box
can,
office.
You can do it right. It doesn't help that you got Jeff Goldblum being weird, weird in your movie.
I saw a clip.
Like, even weirder than these Apartments.com commercials now, where he's really weird.
He's so strange. I saw a clip with Taika Waititi talking about Jeff Goldblum and how he was like, when Goldblum shows up, and he's like, we just want you to be you. Just be Jeff Goldblum. And Goldblum's like, I was hoping he would say that. Yeah, so he's just like, we just want you to be Goldblum.
I want to know whose idea it was for him to pop up as a space DJ.
As a space DJ.
I want to know whose idea that was, because that was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life.
So, Alex, you saw Thor.
I did.
Let's get your review. What's the fast food Jesus review of Thor Ragnarok?
All right, so here's the thing. I know that Marvel is a machine at this point, and
100%.
I know that, like, I would love to be a hipster and defend, like, artistic, you know, diversity and all that stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But at the end of the day, that is a fucking fantastic film.
It's amazing. Yes, Marvel is a machine producing content as opposed to art, it would seem.
Right.
Thor Ragnarok at times feels like art. Even though it's pop art, it's like, this is...
Yeah, it's a candy bar, but it's the best fucking candy bar ever made.
Yes.
That's
the
thing.
Yes, 100%.
And for me, I was a huge comic book nerd growing up, and then I realized I like tits, and then I started to like... I fucked up, though, because I got really into music, and then I would be like, who wants to go to a show? And they're like, all of a sudden, it switched, and girls were like, fuck you, we're going to Comic-Con. I'm like, what happened? How did I fuck this up?
It's just timing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, but to be able to, and I still read comics now. I have Marvel Unlimited, and I was always a Marvel guy, right?
Okay, and I think so, Drew too, right? Marvel guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and so for me to be able to see these characters come onto a screen, not like what I imagined them, but exactly what I imagined, dude, it almost brings me to tears. Like, when they're playing fucking Immigrant Song, he's just fucking shit up.
Yeah, dude.
That's all I wanted.
It was so good, they did it twice.
That could have been the whole movie, and I would have walked out of there with the 3-inch boner. It would have been amazing.
Jesus. Hela, what do you think of Hela as a villain in terms of all the Marvel villains? Where would you rank her? Because I'm on record as she's like pretty much my favorite of the Marvel movies.
Of the Marvel movies, for sure. God, she's really gorgeous in a dark way.
It helps,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it helps us keep Blanchett. She's fantastic.
And the way she goes about it, you can just feel the rage in her, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And really talented, I think. I love her as a villain. Honestly, I think the best Marvel villains that they've done on screen so far have been in the Netflix series. Rather be Vincent D'Onofrio or who's amazing, or Mr. Purple, Kilgrave, Jessica Jones,
who was Doctor Who for a while. Right?
Oh yeah,
Doctor
dude.
Who.
Yeah,
and they announced D'Onofrio coming back for Daredevil season 3.
Thank God.
Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah,
he was phenomenal,
and his presence has been missed.
For sure.
I wonder why Daredevil the first season does feel like the best thing they've done. I would think either that or Jessica Jones for me personally.
Jessica Jones was really good, though.
It was really good. I also haven't seen everything, though. We just started Punisher. We'll talk about it in the second half. Haven't seen Iron Fist. Haven't seen The Defenders.
Yeah.
But D'Onofrio was like, man, he was so electric in that and so intimidating. And they really wrote that character well. You understand? You want him to succeed in terms of finding love and being just a decent dude who appreciates art. And then, oh, no, but he's also got to crush a dude's head in a car. And, then they take his woman away from him. And, man,
which makes him angry.
It was crazy. Put him in jail. Yeah. I want to see him out of prison now. In prison is when he becomes, quote, Kingpin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So then he's coming out like the real supervillain. Looking forward to that shit. So Thor, yeah, you loved Thor Ragnarok.
I can't wait for Infinity War.
It's May. It's already 8 months away.
But to be honest, man, I think the way they're going, the best movie they're ever going to make, I'm putting it on the table, is going to be Black Panther.
I'm hoping for it. Yeah, I'm
everything agreeing. I'm seeing about that, it just, man, I really think good. They're going to hit with that.
It looks over the top good. I'm really into the marketing. We talk about this how, I think we were talking about on the show, Drew is not down with the same suit. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be the same suit. They've done this with Iron Man. Michael B. Jordan, what's his character's name? Like Warmonger, I think his name? Killmonger?
Don't remember.
He's got a crazy name.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his own Black Panther suit, and it reveals that it forms around him in that awesome shot, and then it's gold. Yeah. All right, and Black Panther's is
purple.
The purple regal. He's the king, right?
Yeah.
I bet you they're gonna find a way. I'm hoping this is what it is. The gold suit is better, and so then, Black Panther has to overcome fighting someone wearing an even better suit than his. That's what happened in the first Iron Man. That's the Incredible Hulk when Hulk has to fight Abomination.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot, and so that's what I'm just hoping, Drew. I'm just trying to talk you into it being a good choice.
I hope so, because if not, I think that's going to be the worst part of the movie.
The same suit.
And, you know, kind of going back to what you said, like, about the director, right? So, obviously, it's one of those things where, again, like, my favorite movie of all time is either Reservoir Dogs or 12 Angry Men, right? Like, those are not commercial successes.
No, no.
But if a talented director can be a part of this monster machine, make an incredible consumption film.
Yeah.
And then basically be greenlit to do what they fucking want to do after that.
Yeah.
Then I say this is the best thing that could happen to art as far as cinema goes.
Yeah, sure.
And there were some cinematic moments, especially kind of like you had mentioned on another show, the wide shots. It was like you were looking at, you know, Vatican style art.
Yes, yeah. Renaissance paintings. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
The lighting and the shades of light and dark.
The attention to detail, 100%. Like, I would love if these walls were plastered with just those images. I could look at them all day long.
Mostly Cate Blanchett.
With a lot of Cate Blanchett. Oh, yeah. Man, that one shot of her when she's tiny. Corner, she's throwing the swords at the Valkyrie, and the Valkyrie's all coming out the Valkyries. Of the clouds.
There's thousands of them, and she's just like, "I'm going to kill you all."
Yeah, it's like Robert Martin Scorsese, Raging Bull, cheating. It's slow motion. It's gorgeous music. It's I love it. It's so good. Yes, people see Thor, Black Panther. I'm with you. I'm hoping that's gonna be like it's like a defining moment in pop art. And yes, with Ryan Coogler between Creed and Black Panther, he's going to be set up to make something that could be like
really epic.
Yes, epic. Conceivably, like world-changing with his worldview and what he wants to do. Because Creed has just moments of I put this on Twitter. Creed has moments of like Spielbergian brilliance in terms of commercial appeal, taking something that could be just a singular point of view, but making it accessible to everyone and in such an amazing cinematic way. Sometimes you just love movies so much, you know. Saw that Ready Player One trailer.
You read the book?
Twice.
Yeah. So I've had some buddies of mine begging me to read it. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay.
You should.
But I know it's really good.
I would say read it. Yeah. Both times I read it once, I think it was two summers ago, when I was on a family vacation for a week.
Yeah.
And I purposely brought a few books with me. So Ready Player One I read over the course of 2 days. And then I read it again, reread it over the course of 2 days during the hurricane when we were without power for a week and I had nothing else to do, reading all day. And so, but you can crush it. It's like a really easy read.
Yeah.
But epic, great story. And then feel comfortable reading it knowing that when you see the movie, many details will have to be changed.
Oh, because
Spielberg has said he wants to change a lot of things so that it still feels like a fresh experience for people who read the book in terms of the puzzles that they solve.
Oh,
the
that's game cool. That yeah, yeah.
So they're changing a lot of stuff. And also, he said he's going to cut out a lot of the references to his own movies. So the book has more Spielberg references than the movie will.
Because right.
it's a little too weird commenting on his own stuff like mm-hmm. that. But there's still that goddamn DeLorean.
Yeah, there is.
Looking badass. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait for that movie. It's a great book. It's a great book.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thor Ragnarok, great stuff. Taika Waititi, Ryan Coogler, those guys are the future. Now we just need the female versions and the trans versions. Well, I guess we have the Wachowskis now, thank God for them. Mm-hmm. See, that's cheating, though. The Wachowskis broke in...
As brothers.
As right. brothers, and as on the outside, people are like, just straight white dudes, here we yeah. go. They can make movies just like all the other straight white dudes. And then as they were making their hit movies, they transitioned one at a time. Now they're transgender directors. Let's get in the back door. They got in.
Yep.
But they found a way anyway. I don't know what I'm trying to say there.
Number two this week.
Number two.
Wonder made $27 million.
I don't even know which one's Wonder.
Wonder.
Click on that.
Duh.
I think it's a kid's movie, isn't it? Or a family movie? Or an...
84% of the Rotten Tomatoes.
This happens every now and then where a movie is...
Family-ish. Family drama.
Family drama.
Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson.
Oh, no.
Wonder doesn't shy away from its best-selling source material sentiment, but this well-acted and overall winsome drama earns its tugs at the heartstrings.
So it's a family drama based on a best-selling novel that we didn't even talk about it last week on the new movies and theaters. I guess we thought it was something that was going to be a limited release.
Maybe.
I haven't seen any marketing for it.
Zero.
How much money did it make?
27.
How does it make $27 million when I haven't seen a single trailer or commercial?
And it's got an 84 on Rotten Tomatoes.
84 on Rotten Tomatoes.
We are obviously not the market because we never saw the any marketing for it.
That's what I'm saying. We haven't seen zero marketing for it. What's the theater count, if you don't mind, in box office, Majo?
3,000.
So it's a wide release.
Yeah.
I guarantee you my wife right now is at home, like, planning to take me and her to see this movie.
Because she's read the book and she knows all about
it. She's probably the market yep. for it.
There
yeah.
you go. There you go. All right. That's the Winter's Tale market is the one. Although I saw trailers for Winter's Tales. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Oh, boy. If you want to have a fun experience watching a baffling movie,
yeah.
A Winter's Tale, I highly, highly recommend it. I'll just say this. Will Smith plays the devil.
Okay.
He shows up in two time periods, in both time periods, in the 1900s and in the 2000s. He's wearing the same Jimi Hendrix t-shirt.
I was going to say, he's probably Will Smith in both of those
he
scenes.
He is Will Smith in both of them, except for a moment when he gets angry and then he gets like demon face for a second.
Oh, okay.
It all is right. weird. And then Russell Crowe also plays some sort of demon in human skin.
I like the devil, so I mean, I'm down for it.
It is a baffling movie. Colin Farrell plays a guy who doesn't age for 100 years.
Okay.
And he's living in the ceiling of a train station like Hugo.
More or less baffling than Southland Tales?
Baffling in a different way.
Okay.
Southland Tales is baffling in that, like, this movie makes no sense.
I mean, it's really pretty and some of these scenes are awesome, but what the fuck is going on?
A Winter's Tale sort of makes sense in its own internal logic way.
Okay.
Southland Tales is never
made any sense.
It's like Richard Kelly was like, oh, I can make a David Lynch movie. And they're like, no, you can't. There's a reason why Richard Kelly hasn't made the movie in a minute.
Southland Tales was awful.
And then he made The Box.
And again, yeah. Okay, so The Box. Yeah.
That is
started really, strong, and then again...
That is really a precarious 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it is.
Could have been an incredible film.
It was an incredible Twilight Zone episode.
I blame all of that on Cameron Diaz, even though the writing and the story wasn't the best at the end.
And the way you would blame it on Diaz, I would sort of blame it on James Marsden, because
he's
never impressed me in anything.
No.
Yeah.
X-Men, The Straw Dogs, remake,
actually,
The Box.
He's not so bad in Westworld.
He is fine in Westworld. I'll
that's
give you
a good
that.
Point.
Yes,
he
I will give you
not
that.
Not bad in Westworld.
Yes. That's the first time I've been fine with him.
Yeah.
Back to Cameron Diaz sucking.
Cameron Diaz.
There it is.
I remember. This obviously has affected me to this day. Because I remember I must have been 12 years old sitting in the movie theater. The first time anyone saw Cameron Diaz was in The Mask.
Right.
And it's a panning up shot from her feet going up her legs. She's wearing a red
tiny
dress.
That tiny red dress.
She's wearing a red dress. And it's a big glamorous shot. And I've sort of been in love with her ever since. And also got a thing for legs. So I think that movie had a lot to do with that. I'm just saying.
Number one this week.
I also love The Mask. Do you like The Mask?
I like The Mask minus Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz.
She's the reason that I had to marry a brunette because I just was like, I don't want anything to do
can't
with
do
it.
Can't do it.
God damn. What did it? Why? What? We gotta... I wanna, like, do a psych evaluation therapist session, Mr. Robot style figure out what's going on here.
I don't know. I'm going to therapy next week, so I will ask what my problem is. Find out and report back.
Like, hey, I know we have all this other stuff we're working on, but
this Cameron Diaz thing.
I need to get to the root of this Cameron Diaz thing, actually. I didn't realize it.
Number one this week.
Here we go, number one.
Justice League.
Justice League.
We can gross $96 million.
Justice League. Here is our spoiler-free review. I think we should do a spoilery episode. My brother asked for one.
Okay.
So that's one download.
I would like to hear a spoiler episode because I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah, good. So for good for you.
So then, Alex, that's two episodes. Boom. That's two downloads for that episode. We'll do one for Joe. I saw with my brother. Good for you. You saw it on your own, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then and then you can download it, and then we'll give you all the plot deets. We'll tell you what happened. Here's our spoiler-free review of Justice League.
It sucked.
You all straight up sucked?
Yeah, I could not stop looking at Henry Cavill's weird upper mouth.
Yes, this area is strange looking. Yes, it was like weirdly smooth.
No, it wasn't just weirdly smooth. Some of the times it was just straight up like off-putting and really weird. And at one point in time, he smiled and he had the horse face thing where like his lip came up.
It came up too high.
Yeah, and it showed a bunch of gum.
Yeah, it showed too much gum.
Well, because they had to CG out his mustache.
Oh man.
Yeah, they CG. He had a mustache for reshoots because he was doing.
So here's if that's
he's
the
in
case,
Mission Impossible. And he has a mustache in Mission Impossible.
If that's the case, they must have reshot almost everything that he fucking filmed.
Yeah, his face is always weird looking.
Yeah.
I think they did because he teased a black suit on Instagram and then you never see a black suit. There's a shot in the trailer of Jeremy Irons going, we thought you'd arrive, but we hope you would, hopefully there's still time. And then you never see that shot.
Yeah.
There's several shots in the trailer that aren't in the movie. The shot of Aquaman sitting at the pier and the water hits him. That's
gone.
Not in the movie. Yeah, his face was weird looking.
It was Joss Whedonized. The whole movie was Joss Whedonized.
Everyone's quippy. Everyone quips. Batman quips. Batman's got quips now.
Everyone's
quips.
It was. There were a couple of shots where with Batman's new suit.
I don't like his suit. I don't like that suit.
You know what?
It's the first time really since you know the Schumacher movies. Was like, I don't think I like this suit.
You know what it reminded me of?
Mm.
Night Owl. I was like,
you know what? That was. It's the goggles. I thought the exact same thing. In the movie, he has the cowl, and then he drops goggles over his eyes. And I was like, that's straight up Night Owl.
And then he shoots this grappling hook, which I can't... It's the same fucking grappling hook they used in goddamn Watchmen. I swear to God it is.
Zack Snyder's like, I got my grappling hook sitting on the mantle.
I guarantee you they used that fucking same grappling hook.
Like, it still works. I can just bring it to Justice League. We'll save ourselves a couple $1,000 right here, at least, guys.
So
that's possible.
I thought he was Night Owl. That was a little off-putting.
And there's also a shot of Batman that's in the trailer, too, when he drops down, like he lands on his feet. Which is very similar to a shot of Night Owl dropping down out of the owl ship.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I did feel like Zack Snyder going to the Watchmen well for this, which was
can I ask a question about the movie?
No!
That's fair.
No, yes, please.
Is there any sort of like relatability to the heroes? Like,
no.
Do you feel connected to them as a human?
No whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I did not feel connected.
You know what? Yeah, no. You would have to have serious issues in some way. You would have to be a serious loner to immediately connect with the Flash, or have real daddy issues connect with Victor. What's his name?
Yeah,
Stone.
Yeah, something I don't know.
Cyborg.
Right.
Because so many characters in a two-hour movie, you barely get development. They all get like one or two scenes.
Yeah.
To explain what's going on.
Well, that's always been my problem just with DC Comics in general, is I feel like their characters are just so outrageously exaggerated in who they are that I'm not that guy.
You can't relate to them. I think the closest you could relate to would be the Flash Cyborg characters, because there is one scene where they're working together. It's like the first time they're alone together.
And
the Flash is Barry Allen's very socially awkward. So people who are socially awkward probably identify with that, right?
Sure.
And he's trying to connect with people and he's failing left and right because he just doesn't know how to do small talk. So he's working with Cyborg and it's kind of a mundane job so they can talk to each other. And then they connect on the fact like, oh, we're both products of mistakes, of accidents.
Right.
Everyone else is like, they've been given gifts or they Bruce Wayne has money. Like, we're mistakes and we have to deal with this stuff. So there is like a bit of connection there. And that was like, oh, that kind of stands out.
Right.
But like I said, so that's what? A minute and a half of a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer that, yes, that's how little you can connect to. They do build on the Batman vs. Superman stuff on Wonder Woman with between the Bruce Wayne-Wonder Woman dynamic and the whole who is leading who, like you're only reacting as opposed to leading, etc., etc. So they do like try to put stuff in there, but I don't know, man. Like, I didn't think it was terrible, but I also didn't think it was all that great. Drew apparently just straight up says it sucks. Yeah. What did you like about it, Drew?
Almost nothing.
Come on, there's something, man.
No, I really, there was almost nothing that I liked about the movie.
Man, seriously?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I
liked Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman's great, but that's Wonder Woman.
They make the bracelets work. You know, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was the best part of the movie by far. But it almost felt like the last Avengers movie where they're in some strange walled off town Eastern Europe with a giant fucking silo in the middle of it.
Yep.
Right. And all of a sudden there's a battle and there's a weird colored sky and strange things happen and then the MacGuffin's found out and the movie's over.
I do feel like, yes, they took from the school of Marvel movie villains with this one in terms of Steppenwolf is played by Ciarán Hinds but is entirely CG. Mm-hmm. And at times I was like, is he doing a Liam Neeson impression?
Yes, he was. I think because the CG character Steppenwolf kind of looked like Liam Neeson.
He looked like Liam Neeson.
It was weird.
It was strange.
It was weird.
All right, so we saw this in separate viewings, and we both thought Liam Neeson. Thing, yeah. Okay, so I thought I was going crazy.
No, I thought Neeson's too.
And he's like an okay villain, but he is like the typical, he could have been swapped out with a dude from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy who's like an alien race, and he's taking over worlds, and he needs the MacGuffin so they can take over. Why? Because he seeks power, you know? It's the same thing as Loki in the first Avengers. It's the same thing as Ultron, like you said, in Age of Ultron. So it's just like, I thought Aquaman was cool. Like, I was surprised that he wasn't lame. Did you think Aquaman was a lame character, Drew? Honestly.
He was just alright.
He was a long-haired tough dude.
He's a long-haired tough dude with,
who refuses the call and then accepts the call. Very simple.
with a trident who is apparently deep down a softie because when he's sitting on...
That was a funny scene. That's funny. Come on. Because he's...
So stupid! The whole...
I thought it was cute.
You know what that was? That was Joss Whedon.
That was a Joss Whedon moment.
But don't we all want a long-haired, tough dude with a little bit of softness in the middle to hold on to at night?
No, I don't.
I know, I kind of do.
It's badass juxtaposition when you see Frank Castle playing guitar with his kids.
Yes!
And then he kills a bunch of people like, whoa.
With a sledgehammer.
We'll talk about that later. I thought Aquaman was surprisingly not lame. Uh-huh. I thought the underwater scenes were surprisingly okay. Like, I was always wondering how you're going to pull off an underwater
movie. Where
the fuck
did Amber Heard come from?
She's a major character in the Aquaman universe. She will be in Aquaman, the movie. That's helping to set up the Aquaman movie. Maybe part of the problem. That Justice League is not just a culmination of movies into this, but this is then setting up the Aquaman movie. It's supposed to set up a Cyborg movie. They teased Green Lantern in the flashback scene.
Yeah, they did.
They showed an old Lantern in a huge battle, real quick.
And then he dies, his ring goes
away. To go follow Hal Jordan or John Stewart or whoever's going to be in the Green Lantern Corps movie. So there's like a lot going on. I feel like there's enough to latch on to, be like, oh, that's cool. I like that. I like the Danny Elfman score, but as a whole,
it's not even a movie.
It's barely a movie. Barely a movie.
Which sucks because you have Zack Snyder and, like you said, Danny Elfman. I mean, go do something cool.
And even with a Joss Whedon rewrite, like, well, the guy is successful for a reason.
And I still do get goosebumps every time I see anybody in a Batman suit and I hear,
which they did.
And it fucking worked. And I was just like, oh, God.
Danny Elfman used a little bit of the Batman
theme. I was like, oh, I feel it.
He used touches of the old Superman theme and the score works.
Also, man, dude, fucking Ben Affleck, I'm sorry, worst Batman of all time.
I liked him in Batman vs. Superman. I thought there's something about this one.
Yeah.
There's something about it. It was lacking.
Worst Batman ever.
Worst ever?
The worst ever?
Clooney was pretty bad. Clooney was just straight up Clooney. Like, he didn't do anything.
I mean, neither did Val Kilmer.
No, I rewatched some of Batman Forever. I was like, I can see why they cast him. I can see this, especially as Bruce Wayne. I was like, I guess. George Clooney was like, hey, freeze, I'm Batman.
Yeah, he was an awful both. I mean, I guess Ben Affleck was a fine enough Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm. But as a Batman, though.
No.
That suit was weird, man. It's a weird looking suit.
See, it's almost like it was like super buff Batman soup. Suit.
Just like the last one. Because because Affleck is so big. He's 6'4". He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So on top, when you throw a suit on top of that, he's like, whoa, he's really bulky. I think we've gotten used to smaller Batmans on screen. Yeah. Michael Keaton was 5'7" for Krimny. You know, Christian Bale was the biggest one for a while at like 6'1".
Yeah.
And then Ben Affleck is 3 inches taller than him. Come on. And bulkier. Bale's still kind of a little lanky, even with the weight on him, with the muscles.
Anyway, they need to shut that down and figure themselves out and then just find a way to make a decent Batman Beyond movie, and I'll be fine with it.
Well, okay. Sure. They are working on... was I going to talk about?
Are they making Batman Beyond?
They are not Batman Beyond, but they are figuring out what they're going to do next. They want to work on The Batman is next, and Matt Reeves is going to direct that. It was going to be Ben Affleck. Pass off to Matt Reeves. Rumors now, and we've been talking about this for a while, Ben Affleck, he may be dropping out of Batman. He may be looking for a graceful exit and not continue working as this character. Rumors have it that Warner Brothers, looking for a replacement, may be looking at Jake Gyllenhaal to replace him. Jake Gyllenhaal was in the running for Batman all the way back in the Batman Begins days, back in 2005. It was Christian Bale, Jake Gyllenhaal, Joe Manganiello, Joe Sofia Vergara, who is now Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Did you stick around for the credit scenes, Drew?
Only the first one.
The first one, the very cheesy. It's the Flash and Superman are like, race. Oh, let's have a race. And then just as they take off, it cuts to slow motion, then it cuts to black, so you don't know who wins.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the Flash.
It's a cute little joke. It should be the Flash, right?
The answer is the Flash.
I mean, because he's the one who goes back in time.
Like I said, the answer is the Flash.
He can time travel, but then Superman he spun the world around backwards, which reversed time, Drew, and then he went back the other way and then made the world go back. Remember that?
Yeah, I did.
In the Superman movie? Mm-hmm. That's how science works, right?
No.
Why not?
You didn't see the final scene after the credits scene? After the credits, at the very, very end, it is essentially Lex Luthor and Deathstroke meeting up to say, oh, we should start... He literally says this, Lex Luthor, a league of our own, and then it cuts to black. So they're going to start a women's baseball league.
Sweet.
In the next movie.
Awesome. I'm totally okay with that.
It seems like a fun plot. Deathstroke takes off his mask, and it is Joe Manganiello under there for sure. So
I vote Chris Crespo, new Batman.
I'm fine with that.
I think you can do it.
As Batman?
I believe in you.
But then I gotta get in shape. Do I have to get in shape?
No, fuck it,
they
man.
They can CG me to be in shape.
Right? I'll be Alfred.
You want to be?
Oh, dude, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I'll be Alfred.
I'm totally watch that.
I'm fine with that. Although we gotta get you. Jeremy Irons is the best dressed Alfred ever.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, hands down.
Great vest, shirts, everything super great looking.
I'll dress like Jeremy Irons.
Yeah,
but I'll act like Michael Caine.
Can you do, so you won't blink? Is that what's going on?
I won't ever blink, and I'll always tell the story about how I burned down a forest.
We burned the forest down. I'm Michael Caine. If you have to say the name of the character as you do the impression, it's a bad impression.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. So Justice League, man, a bummer. Drew says it sucks. I would give it like a 5 out of 10. My brother saw it. He gave it a 6.5 out of 10. He wasn't impressed.
I'd give it like a 3,
Drew
maybe a 2.
Drew is just straight up shitting on it. So take that, America, with a grain of salt. A grain of shitty salt.
I mean, at this point in time, I'm not even sure if I care about any other DC movie.
Ah.
Like at all.
I guess we'll have to talk about that in the second half of the show. So that's your number one movie of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. New movies coming out on DVD. Birth of the Dragon, a terrible Bruce Lee movie that just came out in theaters that no one saw.
Mm.
Now we can all ignore it on home video. The Hitman's Bodyguard. I saw the last 45 minutes of this movie, and if you saw the trailer, it is it's pretty much what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Drew had no interest in seeing it. I wanted to see it. I saw the last 45 minutes. It was fine.
Mm.
It was fine.
Mm.
I thought it was fine.
Mm.
Drew.
Okay.
It was fine.
Mm.
You should watch it.
No. If I want to see a Ryan Reynolds action movie, I'm going to watch Deadpool.
This guy's sitting here eating himself.
Yeah.
Leap! With an exclamation point comes out on DVD. That's the animated film that no one saw.
Oh,
the French-made animated film.
Oh, that was supposed to be so awful.
Yeah, the reviews were so bad.
Yeah.
One review actually said for this animated film, somehow they found a way to animate bad acting.
That's amazing.
It is kind of amazing. I almost want to see it to see just see how bad it really is. It's that type of bad. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets comes out on DVD. Disappointing, I would say. I wanted to like
at
it.
At least.
And it was like, it was pretty. Too. Yeah, it looked great.
It was pretty.
I feel like it's the type of movie, if you didn't see it in theaters in 3D, then you missed your chance.
Because that's the best it was going to get, and it still wasn't that good.
Although, will it age well, or will it age poorly?
No, it will not age well.
No, all right, well, there you go. I think if anyone sees the movie this weekend, a great one to check out. Especially, we were talking off mic, you like The Green Room.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you like a movie with that kind of, sort of intensity, that kind of... And it's also a similar thing where it takes place over a set amount of time, like one night, and someone has to figure a problem out.
Yeah.
Good Time comes out this week. Remember that one, Drew?
With
Rob Pattinson?
That was a lot of fun.
It's a good
movie. I can't believe I'm ever going to say this. I care about a Rob Pattinson movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll definitely check it out.
He's done a few now where I'm kind of on the Rob Pattinson train.
No.
I'm fine with what he wants to do.
No.
He started out as Edward, just like any young actor. He got a big role. He made the best of it. He ended up regretting it because he felt like it was going to typecast him. It might.
And it did for a while.
It may still. People still see him as Twilight guy.
Cronenberg's
Cosmopolis.
See, I never saw that.
It's a Cronenberg movie for sure. But he's in it, and he's good. what's the other one? The Rover.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
With Guy Pearce. Yeah, that Australian movie. Yeah, David MacLeod, I think this guy's name is.
He was good in The Rover.
There's a great little movie called The Rover, and it's sort of Mad Max-y.
It's a love story about a man and his dog.
It's a love story about a man and his dead dog. and then now this movie, Good Time, where it's him.
He's really good.
He's a dirtbag dude living in New York City. He's got a brother who's a slower dude mentally, right? He's got learning problems or whatever, or maybe he's on the spectrum. I don't know what's going on with his brother. And he ropes his brother into robbing a bank, and it goes wrong, and his brother gets arrested. So he's like, I gotta get my brother out of Rikers before, you know, he gets himself killed.
Oh, crazy.
So it's that night, like, he's trying to get him out of jail. He goes to the bail bondsman. Bail bondsman's like, I need X amount of dollars. Like, shit, I need the money. So it's just him running around trying to get his brother out of jail, and then his brother being in Rikers. And, man, it's like
it's intense,
well-made movie. The score is like, when we saw it in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And they cranked up the volume on that thing.
The score's awesome.
The score gets so loud to the point of being uncomfortable, which must have been the point. It's like you're gripping your seat intensity.
Was it a name that we would know on the score, or is it a newer?
No. What was the guy's name? It's some crazy weird name.
Oh, no. One Trick? Something weird like that?
It's some weird name. But I think people who know electronic music
may
know the name. Yeah, that type of deal. Good stuff for sure. So, Good Time. I would definitely tell people to check it out. The movie itself is, in a fashion, a good time. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Hang on. My phone's being weird. In theaters, we got, the Gary Oldman movie, Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour, directed by Joe Wright. Yeah.
Yeah, where he plays, what's his face?
What's his face, exactly. He plays what's his face? Oh, what's his face? Winston Churchill.
Yes, there we go.
He plays Winston Churchill. He's slathered in makeup in a fat suit, and it's about, you know, one of the World Wars. Not the first one.
Well, I did, it was only really in the sequel, right?
Yeah,
World War II.
Winston Churchill featured heavily in the World War sequel. Yes,
World
War II: The Darkest Hour, directed by Joe Wright. His expertise is making movies that are nominated for Academy Awards. He's made like 5 movies, and I think 4 of them were nominated. He did Atonement. Remember, that's a war movie with James McAvoy. He did the one that didn't get nominated was Hannah, which is his version of an action movie. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
The girl living in the woods, a survivalist type story. It was an action movie, but not really. That's the type of director he is. So Darkest Hour, we'll see. What else is coming up?
The new Pixar movie, Coco.
Coco.
Which is just a ripoff of Book of Life.
Sort of. They're focused more on music in this one. I saw a featurette about
Pixar's
it.
Book of Life.
Have you guys ever sat through a Pixar movie and not bawled like a little bitch?
Every time I don't really cry.
I'm
soulless.
Oh man.
Yeah, he sold his soul like it was on the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah,
he sold shares.
People actually, I'm not even the primary shareholder in my soul anymore.
He may have actually oversold.
I probably did.
Oversold shares. Or you could probably get the SEC on
this
one.
Speculation is a bitch.
It is.
Yeah, and then we got some insider trading going on.
Oh, definitely a lot of insider trading on that.
So he went public on that IPO a long time ago. Some of them, like Up, was obviously in the beginning.
Oh, that's so depressing. So depressing.
Wall-E has moments here and there of loneliness where it's like, oh man, I'm definitely feeling it. But no, what was the last one he did? Well, actually, Toy Story 3. You didn't feel it at the end?
Dude,
I thought Toy Story 3,
I thought they were all going to die, and so did they. They reconciled, you know, everything they had done with their maker, and they'd accepted death.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sitting there in the movie theater with my wife, and I'm watching it, and all I'm thinking is like, the whole point of this movie is we're all going to die, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy the people you have while you have them.
Yes.
And it was like, fuck you, Woody. You're a goddamn animation. You don't get to tell me this.
You're supposed to make me feel good about myself.
Oh, dude, at those movies, I'm dreading having to go see that. And I will, because those are the only movies that my wife really watches.
But it's going to get you, though. It probably will get you.
Oh,
it looks beautiful. And they also did a lot of filming of people playing guitars.
That's awesome.
They strapped GoPro cameras to guitars so then they could animate like the finger work, the fret work and stuff. Very, very cool. Anything else coming out?
No.
That's all the big stuff. All right, here we go. Let's take a break, guys. Crespo Disco. I already mentioned the Danny Elfman score for Justice League. Maybe the best part of the movie is the Danny Elfman score because it's just traditional. Boom, 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 boom. Good stuff. So here's a couple songs. One of them using a little bit of the Batman theme. And then another one that uses a little bit of the Superman theme. So people can see. We talked about last week how they were incorporating it. So this week they can actually hear it. And then we'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about. Drew, you ready?
Yep.
Alex, you good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBShow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBShow.
Welcome to the Quest Bowl.
What is up? What is up? How's it going? Welcome to episode 254 of Cinema Quest Beniso. That's how the show starts. This is the second half of the show. All right, we're going to do that one again.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Drew. Welcome back to the second half of the show. That is right.
We left the second half. Well, we false started
the second half. That's for sure.
You're so.
Maybe, you know, 254, maybe by the time he gets to 300, that'll be it.
Maybe then you'll know what you're doing.
So, you got Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers, you got your 10,000 hours, right? I'm not at 10,000 hours, even when you add on the all the radio, the hour a week with SBK for a couple of years, the 15 minutes a week with Curtis Earth I've been doing for the last few years, all the podcasting, all the guesting, I'm not even close to 10,000 hours.
I think you'd be surprised.
Not even... I did the math. 10,000 is a lot. Anyway, we're here. How's it going, guys? We're back. Drew Secogran, Drew.
Chris.
Alex Morehead. Alex!
Masturbation's the only thing I have 10,000 hours on.
You know what? I'm pretty good at that, too. So yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drew?
I mean, yeah, of course.
All right.
There you go. Hey.
We're all warm-blooded males here.
Cheers.
Right?
The masturbating. We're a bunch of dudes on the podcast talking about our dicks. We are breaking new ground.
Actually,
seriously, though.
I'm pretty sure this was the first podcast. Three dudes sitting around talking about their dicks.
Talking about their dicks?
Boom. Podcast number one.
Number one?
That was the first podcast.
The first podcast?
Yeah, that was the first podcast.
Oh, so podcasting? We just invented podcasting?
No, we just reverted ourselves back to the original podcasters.
That's what it was.
The first podcasters.
All right, now you're confusing
the first men, Chris.
The first men, like the word men, the history men.
Exactly.
Are you getting Mad Maxy on me?
Yes.
This guy, Drew. plugs? Where can people find you online?
At antihero419 all over the interwebs.
People, tweet him your favorite Mad Max GIFs, specifically for Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Let's see some children in those GIFs. GIFs, however you say it. Fast Food Jeebus.
Yeah, I'm at BYOCB Alex, and then you can find our show at BYOCBShow.com.
Boom. BYOCB, we had Chris Fisher on before, like I've said, and we played, you know, Chris cut a nice commercial for us that we play every now and then. I dropped it into this one so people will hear it in the middle.
He's a good dude. I like that guy.
Good thing he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a good fella. Seems like a nice, he's a family man.
He's a busy dude.
He's a busy dude, but yet he finds time to go to NXT shows.
Well, because he found a way to loop that into family time, which, goddamn, that's a lesson. When I have kids, I need to find a way to get them into what I like.
That's exactly, yes, which is beer and soccer.
I mean, it works sometimes.
The soccer is easy.
I mean, my
soccer is easy.
My dad did that with me, and it didn't turn out so well.
What are you talking about? You're emotionally stable.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Me, just like my father, I'm emotionally unstable, stuck in the restaurant business, and hooked on drugs.
There you go. But the good drugs,
like
though.
Like father, like son.
The good drugs. BYOCB, bring your own cocktail balls. You ever have a good cocktail ball?
Once or twice.
A gelatinous, like, a shot, and it explodes in your mouth, and it's just like gin and
vroom. Oh, you and I have very different definitions. Hey,
that's not what I was thinking of
at
all.
What were you thinking of?
But I've had that, too. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we're not going to discuss that, Chris. I thought we were on the... Me and him were probably on the same page, not me and you.
Oh, man. Or you guys talking about, like, a ball, like a headbanger's ball, like a dancer's ball or something?
Yeah. Sure. You know what?
I was talking about, like, future cooking that they do with, like, you know... What you
we
ever
were,
have when
we
I was
thinking of a party
when I was in Vegas? You were thinking of a party when I was in Vegas. I had those Jose Andres those olive oil like gelatinous balls where it's like a little cup, it's on a little spoon,
yeah.
And you put it in your mouth and then it pops and it's like a gusher, but
full of stuff.
Full of stuff. It was like olive oily. Really was
it? Was
it? Never. No.
So it was like a bottle of olive oil skated in your mouth.
As a general rule, I'm down to put anything in my mouth once just to see how it goes.
Just to say.
Yeah. At least once.
Yeah.
What's going on with this here?
I mean, it's like I always say, Chris, when all else fails, just put it in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth. BYOCB is available all over the internet. iTunes. Stitcher. Google Play.
I think we're working on Spotify.
Spotify. Us too, as well as the other 300,000 podcasts I'm sure out there. Spotify will get around to all of them eventually.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. How do we get on Spotify, Chris?
I already submitted.
Oh, okay.
It's very simple. They made the process very simple now. And they just opened that up very recently, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Within the last month or two, I think. So they are being inundated, I'm sure, with just the best content on the planet. The best stuff. They can't get enough of it. So we'll see. Good luck to you. I'm sure you'll get through. It's a good show.
Thanks, man. We have fun with it.
Yeah, no, it's a fun listen. It's almost always at a different pub or brewery or tap room.
Yeah.
So
always mobile.
Always mobile. You get the ambient noise in the background, which is a lot of fun. You know, it helps set the show apart. I'm all about. Excuse me. You got very gassy.
It happens. Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
The whole PFT media network thing, you know, we're trying to be very cognizant of producing different content, different shows that sound different, have different personalities, and hit different genres. And we don't have the live show. We don't have the show that goes around and is mobile and stuff, you know, and it's a very good niche to have, and I think it's really good. When did you exactly get in on the... Because I know you weren't there at the beginning, right?
Yeah, so here's the screwy part, is that I actually was on show one.
Were you?
Yeah, Fisher, I just met him. Like, I didn't know Fisher, and then we were drinking a beer, and I told him a story, and he's like, hey, that was really funny. You want to tell it on the show I'm starting? I'm like, all right.
Oh, cool.
And then the next time I was doing a show, I just showed up where they were, mm-hmm. and I was grabbed a beer, because it was him and a different guy.
Yeah.
And it was show two. And they're like, hey, we'll sit in on the second half. I'm like, all right, cool. And then I just never left. And I just kind of fucked it all up and said, well, fuck it, I'm here now. And there you go, three years later, and we're rocking it.
Well, don't they say that sometimes just keep showing up. If you just keep
just keep showing up, eventually they'll be like, hey, you know what? You're part of the team now. Let's do this.
As what Wesley Snipes did in Major League. He just kept showing up. Like, I guess he's part of it.
Have you ever good read job. To give a moose a cookie or whatever? Like, you give a moose a cookie and then he never leaves? That's the same thing. Chris handed me a beer and I was like, I live here now.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's it. Well, this whole you don't feed the neighborhood cats or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the origin story. That is a great way to... to work into something. I'm just gonna be here.
I'm just gonna be here. Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Well, they do have a choice. They could be like, stop saying where they're gonna be, or they could start saying, hey, Alex, we're gonna be here. Meet us there.
Yeah, they've tried that. I'm really resourceful.
You got your spies out there. Rate and review BYOCB on iTunes because that helps out all the podcasts. And while you're rating and reviewing BYOCB, do the same for Cinema Crespiso because, hey, why not?
You should do that.
Yeah, you should do that. It helps us all out. Drew, you have an idea yet for your own? I mean, I've asked him you a couple times. So you have.
Eventually we're gonna do the New Great Philosophers.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm just fucking super lazy about like doing.
We gotta figure anything. Out all the topics and.
It's a lot of so much work.
The research.
I basically just have to like sit down one day and be like, okay, I'm planning this out today.
We need to go back and find it. All right. Can any listeners please go back and find do some work for us and find our previous episodes when we mention new great philosophers? I'm like, oh, that's a new great philosophers right there. Go back, find those episodes.
Because we didn't write any of that shit down.
Yeah, we didn't write them down. Pull the time codes and then tweet them at me at CrespoDiso. And then I can and then we'll have something to work with there. There we go. The new great philosophers.
Nice.
It's coming. We also need someone with a 3D printer to make a little bust
of our heads.
Little Greek bust of our heads.
Like old school Greek style.
Yeah, yeah. But we need to be a 3D printer so we can take actual pictures of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Photoshop.
No 3D model Photoshop bullshit. No.
Real.
No.
You want them real. Yes. So. 100%. I mean, someone wants to make us marble ones, that's fine too.
I mean, yeah, totally. I mean, if you're a sculptor
and you want to sculpt us some actual Greek bust.
By all means, go for it.
For the new great philosophers, then we'll take that too. But, you know.
Until then.
We meet the people halfway.
I'll go for cheap plastic.
We need cheap plastic. So, BYOCB, check him out. Alex, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, man.
No, absolutely. It's our pleasure. At CrespoDiso on Twitter, I am Chris Crespo in real life. Just have to reaffirm that every now and then.
Are you? Just to
keep myself from having a schizophrenic break.
That's a new philosopher's thing, right? Like, are you really Chris Crespo?
I think I am. There are other Chris Crespos on Twitter.
Fuck those Crespos. About
50 of them I found.
How am I not myself, research. Chris?
How am I not myself?
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 We're not doing this. We're not doing that. Hit us up. Email cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, cinemacrespediso on iTunes, rate us and review us, or if you're listening on other services, still rate us and review us on iTunes? Come on. I don't know why that... So many people listen! Half of our audience, I'm sure half of your audience, iTunes, Apple users.
Nobody rates and reviews, you know?
And then no one rates and reviews, and those... If people did, if all of our listeners did, then we would shoot up to like the new, not new noteworthy, but like the what's hot or what's trending.
We were
and then our logo would pop up and people would be like, oh, what's this? And they would click on it. That's how that works,
Chris,
people.
We were new and noteworthy once.
We were. When we first started, we got so many reviews like really fast. We got like 20 reviews super fast because it was still fresh off of the demise of SBK Live.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like jumped on the Crespediso bandwagon pretty quick and stuck on for a while, but then like they kind of faded away, those sons of bitches. But they gave us a lot of reviews and then we were on the new and noteworthy thing, and that fed into it a little bit, but then it faded away. What happened, Drew? People got complacent.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw one more thing out there?
Please do.
Honestly, rate and review, yeah, but for us, join our Facebook group. You can just search on Facebook. It's a lot of fun, and that's really why we do the show, is to have interaction with everybody after the fact.
The BYOCB Facebook group of people. Juice the Cogman, the rest of the world. Juice the Cogman, the rest of the world. Juice the Cogman. Sorry, Alex. Gotta interrupt that.
Do it.
But yes, BYO... That, actually, you know what? That reminds me. Join the BYOCB group. Join the Cinema Crespediso group.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then there's the PEFT Media group. There's so many Facebook groups. Just spend all your days on the Facebooks. That's what Zuckerberg wants.
Just plug in already.
Just plug in. Just jack in. And give them all your energies. Alex, Drusa Cogburn versus the world. You know how this goes.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean... When you unplug, does that mean you jack off? You jack in?
Jack in? No, you jack out. If you follow that logic, you're jacking in, then you're going to jack out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose jacking on.
Yeah, if you jacked on, Then you could jack
off.
Yeah. God, they fucked that up when they picked those words. Whoever did that, that idiot. Drew, you are 22-13. You won last week. So you got to go first in this week's game called Say What? Name the movie from the quote. I'm going to give you a short movie quote, pretty famous ones, and then you tell me the movie. As a matter of fact, all these quotes, all these lines of dialogue are from the AFI 100 Years 100 movie list.
Nice.
From like the year 2001, 2002. So all these movies are like last century. All right?
Fun.
Drew, A or B?
B.
B, here we go. Five quotes. You named the five movies. Number one. And I try to make it easy, and then it goes to the hard.
He's not good at that.
I think I am. We'll see. Number one. You're going to need a bigger boat.
Jaws.
Correct. Number two. Show me the money.
Jerry Maguire?
Correct. Three. You can't handle the truth.
A Few Good Men.
Correct. Four. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, the fuck.
He's turning into a monster.
Can I steal?
He's like, ah! No, steals. I can introduce steals in 2018. The show needs to evolve. That's actually kind of a fun idea. We'll see.
Pulp Fiction?
No, Alex, you want to say it?
Would that be Footloose?
No!
Oh, no, Flashdance.
No!
No, shit, what the fuck?
Dirty Dancing!
Dirty Dancing! Well, then I fucked up my steal.
So then there has to be like a steal penalty if you want to go for it.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun. Look for that in 2018, people. Oh, interesting. Number five. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Gone with the Wind?
No. Casablanca.
Ah!
3 out of 5. Alex. Here we go, number one.
Here we go.
You talking to me?
That's Goodfellas.
No, that's Taxi Driver.
Oh, shit.
Wait, he's in the mirror, looking in the mirror. Number
two.
Yeah. No, Goodfellas is, Think I'm a clown?
You think I'm a clown? Yeah.
Number two. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Oh, well, that's... So that's Star Wars, but do I have to name the Star Wars?
No, it's Star Wars.
I just know it's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars. Okay. It's the first one. It's Star Wars, yeah. It was the very first one. Number three. A boy's best friend is his mother.
Oh, man. I mean, obviously, my autobiographical film, because my best friend is my mother. But I would say Psycho.
Yes, well done. Number four. Attica.
Ah. Spartacus.
No, right actor. Dog Day Afternoon.
Damn it. All right.
Here we go. All or nothing right here. Number five. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. That's, no. That's Apocalypse Now?
That is correct, which means you are tied at 3 out of 5 each. Tiebreaker time. Here we go. We need to give you guys a piece of paper. Rip that in half, Drew. Here's a pen.
That love was it. An awful rip in half.
Here's a pen. Here's your question. Like I said, this came from the AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movies list, which covers movies from 1900s to 1990s, right? My question to you, of those 100 movies, how many are from the 1970s?
Yes, 1970s.
Son of a bitch.
The perfect marriage of cocaine and marijuana.
It was a good time for both.
It was.
Out of those 100 movies, how many of those lines of dialogue are from movies from the 70s were doing closest to the pin if you, and let me see. If you both go over, we're going to do closest to the pin without going over. If you both go over, well, then it was just whoever's closest. You know what I mean. We'll figure it out. Closest to the pin, but if you go over, it's whoever doesn't go over. We got both answers in. Alex said 48 movies. Drew said 37. The answer is 15. You're both over, but Drew is over by the least amount, so Drew wins. Very close, guys. Well done. Yeah.
You know what's fucked up is I wrote 37 and scratched it out.
Man, I would have had to do a double. We've done a double tiebreaker before. We've done that before.
Yeah,
it's always so exciting.
If you get the three tiebreakers, do we just fight to the death?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thunderdome style.
I think if we get to three tiebreakers, then we just stop the show. We just stopped the show and we just all go get a steak dinner.
There you go.
Paid for by Chris.
Like, that's it. Yep.
Beautiful.
If it gets to a triple tie, yeah. No. Then there's collusion. You guys be like, All right, what were we talking about? Oh, you know what, Drew? You probably thought that I forgot.
Because you did.
But then I remember.
I was wondering if you were going to do anything about that.
So I got notes.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Don't spit on my computer.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about...
Dr. Manhattan was in Just Ice League.
Doc Hollywood.
That was great.
And it's weird, and now that they're doing Watchmen tying into the DC universe, are they going to have to do that with the movies too? In which case, is The Flash's dad actually Dr. Manhattan?
What?
Cogburn out.
Oh, that was a Doc Manhattan is Flash's dad? Is Flash's... Man, it's taking me longer to write this.
That's the point, Chris.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You are a son of a bitch. Okay, let's get into... let's just get out of the way.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous...
Vox Populi. Populi.
Drew Cogburn, you got emails. I also tagged you in a couple tweets. You get those tweets?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to Twitter. I definitely don't have my notifications on. Oh, you don't have your
notifications on. Okay, well, you can hit us up, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com, or that's our new jingle. Or you can tweet us at Crespodiso, or you can tweet Drew directly at antihero419, although apparently he doesn't check his tweets and doesn't have his notifications on, so I don't know why. But still send them gifs of...
You didn't mention me in shit.
I tagged you in two of them.
You didn't tag me in shit.
For the Vox Populi in your mentions.
Nope. Notifications?
Yeah, notifications.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
All right, well, you know what? Why don't you read the emails and then I'll pull up the tweets and then I'll read the tweets then.
We got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
And it's good. Long.
All right.
Hang on, I gotta get some water real quick.
I'm gonna make a sandwich.
My expectations for Justice League going in were low. I mean, really low.
Also, feel free to edit anything you feel might be spoilery, Drew.
Yeah, and yet I still somehow left the theater so very disappointed. It wasn't even fun. Mindless romp of action and thrills. Yeah. Hell, I can honestly say that I liked Green Lantern more than this. Ugh, I don't know about that.
Whoa, hey, did you ever see Green Lantern, Alex?
I did, yeah.
And how did you in this know, maybe so?
Man, that CGI just was so distracting to me. It was so bad.
So many scenes of them, like, on a platform and everything around them was so obviously fake. And,
yeah.
I mean... Martin Campbell should stick to James Bond movies.
You know? Please, DC. Oh, give me more Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern. Okay, let's start with the positives. The Amazon's action sequence, that was dope. Once again, Wonder Woman universe, not even with Diana herself, is the single best part of another Batman and Superman movie. I loved how they fought, defended, and retreated, always as a team, always at the same common goal. It was a glorious battle scene. The only other positive was Ezra Miller. I really liked him as Barry/Flash. His banter was, for the most part, a welcome respite from the dreary boredom of the rest of the movie. Though I did, a time or two, find myself thinking, really? You're cracking jokes now. And it wasn't even that funny. Come on, brah. You ain't Deadpool. Ooh. So, the Amazons and Ezra Miller. That's it. The rest of Justice League is trash. Cyborg, shiny CG costume, dull character, no personality. Do I want to see a standalone cyborg flick? No. Flash, much as I liked him, I don't think he's strong enough to carry his own movie? Probably not. And even if DC paired him with Cyborg for their own standalone co-adventure, a la Ragnarok, does that sound interesting at all? No. Aquaman, this dude really confused me. Okay, he's a superhero in and around water, I get that. But he's also still a superhero when there's absolutely zero water around. He's able to trade blows with a 20-foot-tall demon god armed only with his massively 5-pointed trident. Oxymoron alert. Are the Amazons such an effective warriors underwater? I would guess not. So how come Aquaman is so formidable outside of his natural environment? If Atlanteans can be badass in water and on land, then why the fuck are they not the dominant species? Why do they let man rule and fuck up their planet? I also don't like how Aquaman was such a frat bro. I grew tired of the aw yeahs and the my mans. Yeah, and he literally chugged a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. He was like, oh yeah.
He did that a lot.
Give him his own movie? Hell nah, bro. Wonder Woman, again, the best scene in the movie was her sister's kicking ass. She wasn't even there, and I'm stoked about the next Wonder Woman film, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that's based on what she did in the last one, not anything I saw in this one.
Fair enough.
What?
Yeah, fair enough.
Batman, as SBK once famously said, he's just a dude with a Home Depot car. And that's exactly what he was in this movie. Batman brings in a few cool gadgets and vehicles to the table, but that's it. When there were actual fighting needed to be done, he just can't keep up with the real superheroes with superhuman abilities. Mm-hmm. Batman is Q, the rest of the team are 00 agents. But because he's footing the bill and has all this awesome tech, they let him go into the field with them. Lego Batman was 100% right when he said, I work alone. Batman as a character works alone. That said, because of this movie, my enthusiasm for a Batfleck feature is waning and waning and waning.
Well, it's not really happening that way. Not with Batfleck, anyway.
Superman! Man, fuck Superman.
What does Superman do to you?
I've always hated him as a character because all he does is win. He's a god, and unless someone is even a speck of kryptonite lying around, he's always going to win. And surely enough, as soon as Superman eventually shows up, the big climactic battle, every single person watching this movie know. Blah, 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 blah. Spoiler alert. And oh my god, that goddamned upper lip. What the fuck? talk about distracting. It's literally the first thing we see in the film, and once you see it, you cannot not see it in every other scene he's in.
That's weird.
It's truly, truly the most evil thing in this movie.
I agree with that, yeah.
Steppenwolf, another stupid CGI villain who's just evil for evil's sake. He's only there to destroy the world.
That's what I said.
His words. His sole purpose is to give the hero something to unite and fight against. He's a walking, talking MacGuffin with a big axe, and he... Never mind the other MacGuffins, the whole Mother Box nonsense. Those mosquito minions were fucking lame. More cannon fodder. They provided nothing. Weak-ass villains and weak-ass plotting. Garbage. The way I understood it, the entire fucking point of this Justice League movie was to expand the DC universe. To build up credit and then make more DC films with these new characters being introduced. Well, for that reason alone, Justice League has to be deemed an enormous failure. I don't care how much money it might eventually make and be called a success, it's always gonna be a flop in my book. It spectacularly botched its mission. Justice League did absolutely nothing to make me want to see any more. Not even the post-production credit scenes aside from Wonder Woman. I don't want to see these characters ever again. Not Superman, not Batfleck, not even Flash. I'm so out. However, the masochist in me does kind of want to see the original version of the film. My god, how fucking awful must it have been for them to rewrite and reshoot so much, and it still be this terrible. 1.5 stars.
I bet you the original version, the Zack Snyder version, was... Because this movie it was quippy. Mm-hmm. It's Whedon-y. Mm-hmm. It also is very... gray and depressing and dark at the same time. It's weird.
Zack Snyder
was going through, now we know he was going through some like heavy stuff in his life, man. His daughter's suicide and everything. He was trying to work his way through it, and it was coming through in his art. Everything was so depressed and downer, and DC was probably freaking out like, no, we know you're sad, but you don't gotta make our own house sad. Just look at the font. The font is so understated. He's making these huge superhero movies, and they're using like Helvetica 12. Uh-huh. It's crazy.
That could have been the thing, though, because Marvel is kind of, their bigger blockbusters have kind of become a campiness aspect, right? So
they are trying to do something different,
right?
Right. But I don't know. It was like when you eventually see it, you'll see.
I don't know if I'll ever watch it, bro.
Yeah, please don't.
No? Did you ever see the Batman versus Superman : Dawn of Just Ice?
No, I did watch Wonder Woman because I think it's important
to have a
strong female and superhero as a lead.
And it stands on its own. Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
But I can't bring myself to watch it.
I think it's obvious now so far you don't have to. No. But thank you, Scott, for the very detailed analysis.
Solid review, dude.
Character by character. Scott! Yeah.
He's verbacious.
He has many words and he uses them well. He's got big words. They're the biggest words. But he's a smart guy. He knows what he's saying. He just has a lot to say sometimes.
I got an email from Luis Modesto.
Oh, what's up, Luis? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Super Cinema Bros.
What? You call the Super Cinema Bros?
Yeah, like the Super Mario Brothers. The Super Cinema Brothers. Okay. Even though we're not brothers.
No, we're not. Well, we're Cinema Bros.
Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, you're kind of short and fat like Mario. I'm tall and skinny like Luigi.
There we go. Yeah, there we go.
I didn't get a green shirt.
You get a green shirt. I'm wearing a red shirt.
I guess I need to find a green one.
I just need a blue hat. No. Eat some mushrooms. We're off to the races.
Sounds good to me.
I know you'd be on board for that one. All right.
Super Cinema Bros.
But then we end up in the sewers. Be bad. Never mind. Go ahead.
If we're lucky, we'll get an extra life.
Oh, that's hard. That's what you think.
I've been away for a while now, but I'm back. You see, what happened was I just didn't want any of the summer movies. I wanted to see Spoiled. Even though you guys try to keep your show spoiler-free, sometimes Deet slip through the guest emails and so on. So it was a heavy heart that I left.
Aww.
Any woozies, that's all in the past, and I have a couple of things. First, the picture of Mr. Deeso on the Earth trivia page is freaking great. It looks like a mugshot from Chris after a night of binge drinking. I know he has more things to comment about, but I left my notes at work. But the reason I wrote is because I went to see the Justice League, and I really liked it. The next things that might be spoilers, but I don't think they are, but just in case, spoiler alert, I wished Flash's mask didn't look like a bike helmet. Did you notice that too? I noticed that as well.
That was a bike helmet?
Yeah.
Not really, actually.
It was shaped like one.
I did not notice that.
I could have lived without...
That's the picture you saw about Alex, the picture of me on Earth Trivia.
That is an amazing photo.
Yeah, I was pretty drunk.
Lived without the race between him and Superman. I'm also glad they didn't spend time on the backstories for Aquaman, Cyborg, and The Flash. The other thing I wanted to ask, you may have talked about this already, but I'm still catching up. I'm on episode 246.
Oh, you're catching pretty quick.
And so...
Wait, so he's not going to hear this for like another month?
So I won't hear for I won't hear this for a while, but I thought Joe Manganiello was not going to be Stryker anymore. And one last thing. I forgot to look closer, but I could not tell that Superman had his mustache digitally removed. Okay, that's all for now. Stay thirsty, my friends. Deuces.
There you go. The Manganiello's involvement as Deathstroke in the Batman movie is questionable, but they have him in this bonus scene in this movie, so, you know, in a totally unconnected from the rest of the plot, just at the very end, its own thing. The only time you see Lex Luthor in the whole movie, after the credits, when the whole movie's over, he pops up like Ferris Bueller in a towel, and he's like, go home, the movie's over. Thanks for coming back, Luis. We miss you, even though you won't hear this. We'll probably hear around. Merry Christmas, buddy. Merry Christmas.
We got Happy New Year. We got an email from Ron.
Oh, Ron, our big gay homie.
Yep.
Ron's the best, man. He's our L.A. correspondent.
All right. Well, we saw the pretty fun movie that is The Orient Express.
Oh, here we go.
It was a pretty full theater on a Tuesday. I sat next to a young teen female. She was not what I expected to attend this remake. So I used her as a gauge as to what this film can mean to the youngins. The first third of the film gets you invested into the characters. The detective, we learned in those days, was eccentric, but now we can just call him OCD. Mm. The accountant is now an alcoholic, and the countess a druggie.
Mm.
All things we can now label with a more pinpoint vernacular, all propped up for certain moments throughout this point in the movie. Getting chuckles and gasp here and there from the whole theater, never knowing who will be killed, but once the murder takes place, it goes into overdrive and figuring it out. The method and the CSI knowledge of today's SVU viewers, you would think you could figure it out. I don't know about the lean, lament, logical, and limp. Drew could even figure it out.
Wait, say that one again.
Lean, lament, logical, and limp. Apparently I'm limp.
Oh, right.
But I do love a mystery. Trying to figure this one out was super fun. Then when you get to the end, the resolution is spelled out to us. We have a conundrum of what to do next. It was intense, to say the least. Ethics and humanity are pushed to the brink. The way we view justice is questioned. The morals of the old age, they hold true for today's mindset. Is this what this film gave me to think about? So I'll throw it to y'all. With Punisher and Mr. Robot Brand of Justice getting good ratings, when does the means not justify the end? When is the field so barren from your sacrificial fire that your planned harvest is too tainted to eat? Taking down an evil corporation put so many out of work, but at the end of the day, we are free to make what? Choices for a better life? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
What was the question?
He wants to know about with the Punisher and Mr. Robot Brands of Justice getting good ratings.
Yeah.
When does the means not justify the end?
Interesting conflation, Punisher and Mr. Robot. Two different... You got a digital hacker warfare versus straight up shooting... Yeah, Mr. Robot, he's trying to bring the whole world down.
But they're both pretty much taken to the extreme.
Punisher's just trying to take out the bad guys.
Take out the bad guys. I mean...
Their moral compasses are set differently.
Mr. Robot's trying to take the whole world down to quote-unquote free us.
Yes.
So, but the things that he's doing to quote-unquote free us are obviously awful and amoral and, you know, this, that, the other.
Mm-hmm. So they're both doing amoral things to justify. So how far, and it's a personal moral question, mm-hmm. How far are you willing to go?
I'm going all the way.
Drew's going all the way? Alex, are you going all the way? Or are you going to be squeamish when push comes to shove, when rubber meets the road, when, give me another one.
I mean, if it calls for it, Chris, I'm willing to sacrifice all of humanity. To save the Earth? Sure.
Save the Earth?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's the way I'll say
it. I'm just trying to
get rid of more people.
The Earth can take care of itself.
I'm a fairly nihilistic optimist.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think
a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think it just comes down to, does the ends justify the means? Basically, it depends on if you're taking part in a social contract with other people. So if you want to be a part of society, then you need to weigh, does this affect society greater positively or negatively?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a lone wolf with a decision that you make morally, then, well, you got to do what you got to do, dude.
And then that's tough. So then if you're deciding what's best for society, if you're doing it on your own, like, internal logic, that's how you end up with a Frank Castle or an Elliot Alderson doing terrible things. Yeah. To make the world a better place as they see it. But who says that the world is a better place? That their better world is better for everyone. Yeah. Well, maybe obviously we need these things.
Obviously, it's not better for the people that are going to die.
Yeah, what about those people? They have families, all the criminals. They have kids. Yeah. I saw Heat.
Yeah.
They have relationships. Just like the cops. They're the same. They went out to eat restaurants. Anyway. Shout out to Ron, LA correspondent.
And we got an email from our homeboy Rocket. What's the fuss?
What's the fuss, fellow PFT show? Alex has been on there a couple times, as a matter of fact.
Love those dudes.
Yeah, those are fun episodes. People should check those, like, episodes somewhere between 89. I want to say it's episodes 89 and 93 off the top of my head.
That's oh, badass, dude. I know it was on it. I don't know what the number was.
I think those are the two. I think it's 89 and 93. It's right around those numbers. So check out those two episodes.
Dearest friends, Chris Andrewster.
What's up?
I hope this email finds you healthy and prosperous.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I realized recently that pawn shops often have rows and rows of movies for around $1 each.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to the big guys for those $5 movie deals. Usually it's some movie you've seen a million times, but who cares? It's $5.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's no telling what could show up in a pawn shop. The possibilities are endless. Plus, people watching is second only to the flea market, where... Plus, people watching is second only to the flea market there, so bring your camera and turn the flash off. Have you two ever found a hidden gem like this? Always, I love you guys. PFT for life. Toodles, Rocky.
Not so much hidden gems, but I found some, like, I mean, you can get some good deals if you go to a pawn shop or flea markets are really good for really, really cheap physical media, especially these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Gracious. Yeah. Have you ever found, what's the best, like, pawn shop find you've ever got? Best pawn shop find I've ever had isn't a movie related. I got a $120 Wawa pedal, like, top of the line name brand Wawa pedal for like $40, something like that. Then I got another, like, a distortion pedal.
Nice.
For like $30. Like, really cheap. Name brand. Awesome stuff. This is like 96, 97. It's a long time ago.
So my father T-Rock and I used to have a tradition where anytime we went to one of those big box stores, we would do the DVD claw machine. Where you would go to the big dump bin
and just
like
put your hand in,
like they have a Walmart,
and grab something and pull it out.
And whatever you got,
that's what you had to buy.
We had to go home and watch it.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, dude. And we watched some terrible shit.
What's the most memorable one you can think of? The one that jumps to mind.
I remember there was a sequel to Caddyshanks. Have you guys seen that?
Caddyshanks?
Caddyshank. I think maybe that might have been what it was called. It was a sequel to Caddyshank.
Yeah.
It was Caddyshack.
Caddyshack.
Shit.
Caddyshack?
I've had a beer and a half and I'm hammered.
It's residual from the beer fest.
That's what it is.
Caddyshack 2?
No, it wasn't Caddyshack 2. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Meatballs 2.
Oh, a random Meatballs movie.
It was Meatballs 2. Because
Meatballs also Bill Murray, right?
Yes. Yeah,
there we go.
Yes, Meatballs 1, amazing film. Meatballs 2?
No.
Not so much.
It's crazy out, especially in the 80s, comedy sequels took nosedives in quality after the originals.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, oh, we forgot what made the first one good. Man, that's funny. Yeah, that would be funny. You could still do that too. You go to Walmart and reach in there and you ever see
something weird?
I forgot I was going with that.
That's how you end up with 18 copies of Independence Day.
Yeah,
that is.
I
got one of those on Facebook like 3 years ago, 8 years ago. You shared this memory, and it was a picture from a Goodwill on the shelf. Where another great place for really, really cheap physical media. Mm-hmm. A whole shelf of An American Werewolf in Paris.
A whole shelf of them.
Like 12, 15 copies. All lined up. And I, you know, I was like, anyone need a copy of American Werewolf? Good times. Shout out to Rocky, What's the Fuss, Hurricane Bill, Etchy. Good stuff. Listen to that. The last episode where they ate barf-flavored jelly beans.
Delicious.
And all lawn clipping flavored. Mm-hmm. And toothpaste. Steve said the toothpaste one didn't taste that bad. I would imagine it's just like a minty jelly bean, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Like jelly beans?
Yeah. I'm more of a... I like sour gummy worms. My wife and I buy... We make a big sack and we put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then that's our treat. You get a frozen gummy worm.
Very nice. Very nice. Drew, candy of choice?
Don't really have like a... Like when it comes to like gummies and stuff like that, I'm really not into those.
So no candy whatsoever. You're gonna candy it up.
No, sugar. I'm not into like, you want some straight like the sugar? Pure sugar candies.
Yeah.
No, I'm not really into that kind of stuff. No.
Skittles now or laters.
No, not really.
No.
Laffy Taffy.
Maybe saltwater taffy back in the day.
Oh, that's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, grow up on by the beach. Yeah, that makes sense. Good stuff. Is that it for the emails?
Yes, sir.
All right, Ron.
The box popular.
Well, Ron also sent us a tweet at Noriko455 where he said, "Only if you saw Just Ice League, which we saw." But I don't think this is very... Well, it's kind of... I will have to cut out one part. Please discuss the fandom's reaction that Bruce Wayne, is now in love with Clark. And how this movie proves he's gay for his Krypton booty because Superman is a power bottom and Batman is a sugar daddy. So Ron contends that this movie somehow proves...
Well, I mean,
and then apparently this is a thing on the internet.
But
they're into each other, homoerotic.
We'd have to kind of spoil the movie, though.
No, he adds a part there that I kept out that spoils the sugar daddy part.
Yeah, but I mean,
but they're into each other.
They are.
Just the idea that they would be into each other.
And there is almost a point where like they look at each other and they're like, "Bro,
hey, bro,
yeah,
you're a bro and I'm a bro, and let's bro together, bro."
Yeah,
they're kind of bro-y. They're bros.
I mean, they bonded over having the same mother's name.
Maybe they just like spending some manly time together, like ancient Greeks used to do. Romans, you know, the Roman bath time. That's sort of what's wrong with a little bit of that.
Ron, just a little bit of butt sex.
That's fine.
Heterosexual butt sex.
Who says it's got to go to the butt sex? To just maybe just like the feeling of each other's the breath in each other's neck.
Light towel snapping.
Same.
Is that what we're calling it these days?
It's called horseplay. Where
sure it is.
One guy gets on all fours and rides him like a horse.
Exactly.
There's no butt stuff going on there. It's just a little bit of light horseplay. And then he gets the towel. Come on, it's fun, Drew. I'm just saying. Turkish bath, you ready?
Not interested.
I got us a membership.
Not interested.
Got you a membership for...
Nope.
No?
No.
All right. Well. also hitting us up on the Twitters. Rage Against Twit, our homie Gabe. With an Orient Express review, he says, quote, "I liked it. Some parts force feed you, but it was enjoyable. Very Sherlock Holmesy. Wait for rental."
Nice.
And that is a movie review. That's what I'm talking about. See how quick that was?
Yep.
You got that point across, over and done with in like three sentences. Well done, Gabe. All right, that is the end of the Vox Popeye, which means it is time, Drew, for our homie Billy D. That's the movies.
Heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What? Ow! You metal, dude!
totally gonna kill you now.
That is right. Time for Billy D's death at the movies. And here comes Drew Sakagra and Whit with an email.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, boo?
I had a fantastic week up here.
Oh, did you really now, braggart?
On Thursday night, I braved the wind of the far west side to see John Carpenter perform.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw the pictures. Yeah, yeah, I saw him live.
Him and... Yeah.
A couple people, actually. Yeah, I saw it pop up. Yeah, same show.
It was awesome. He played his film themes and original compositions.
Nice.
It was one of the more fun shows I've been to in a while because it was only Carpenter and everyone there was a fan.
Nice.
He's definitely an old man standing behind a keyboard, but it was great to be in a room full of people who were there because of a singular fandom.
Yeah.
It was cool because it altered the context in which I consider these songs. With the films being visual aids in the background and the songs played up front, it transformed the compositions in a unique way.
Mm.
One of my favorite Carpenter films features what I used to think of as one of his weakest scores, In the Mouth of Madness, but it's a rock show setting. Into the Mouth of Madness themes is a real crowd pleaser.
Yeah, because it gets really rocking. That's one of his most like electric guitar heavy, like wow, wow, wow. Nope. Let's get snoodling.
I also watched all of the Netflix's Marvel's The Punisher.
All of it?
Which was interesting.
Okay.
I enjoyed it, and it reminded me of a slower burn style action thriller. Less John Wick, more Sicario.
Hmm.
And I'm okay with that. Bernthal carries the show well, and its supporting cast does a great job.
Hmm.
It's just a weird political time for a show like this, and it does an okay job of drawing a line in the sand and saying, this kind of shit isn't cool, but Frank Castle also isn't like a regular mass shooter or terrorist. But still, weird time for a show featuring a hero with a very little value placed on human life. At one point, someone says, you were convicted of 37 murders, and Castle smirks and says, that they know of, like 37 of murders is a lot of murder. Freddy Krueger hasn't killed 37 people on screen across 9 films.
Yeah.
It has a few great sequences and good character moments, but Netflix's Marvel shows have all come short of the electricity of that first great action sequence in Daredevil. I rented a Ghost Story last night on Amazon.
A Ghost Story? Oh, that's the one with the Casey Affleck under
a sheet.
Yep. Okay.
I didn't feel like going out and just seeing Justice League. This was great. I really just loved everything about it. Such a quirky, weird drama, some really amazing cinematography, and very quiet. I recommend a Ghost Story and Punisher totally, as well as seeing John Carpenter if his tour stops in your city. It's a rare experience. Stay cool, Billy D.
All right, a lot of positive reviews from Billy D. We appreciate it. So let's talk about that Punisher.
Yes.
Drew and I saw the pilot. How many have you? Have you seen the whole thing?
I'm 9.5 in.
I have.
I almost canceled on you to finish, but I couldn't do that.
That last hour? Oh, man. All right. Well, are you enjoying it?
See my watch?
I did. I saw this online. Yes. Have you seen that, Drew? I saw that online.
Turn that bad at it.
Show them the look in there.
That's not bad, right? That's my birthday gift for my family. So
yeah. Beautiful. And what is that number? Like something of 6,000 or something?
Yeah, it's 19 of 3,000.
That's amazing.
That's pretty bad, right?
That's very cool. Very cool.
So here's the... I'm going to totally nerd out for like 2 seconds on this,
please,
right?
Do. Yes, that's what this show's all about.
First off, the John Carpenter thing is amazing. I wish I could have gone to that.
Yeah, no shit. That's not coming here, I think.
Last week, I think he mentioned the thing. He went and saw it. Yeah, they were replaying it.
In 70mm.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me too. Yeah, so good. Got some stuff right here. There we go.
I saw it over there. Yeah. But the thing with the Punisher is like, he is my favorite comic book hero.
Okay.
And the reason he is my favorite comic book hero is because the best Punisher comics focuses so much on the people, like the pure human aspect.
Yeah.
More than the action aspect.
Sure.
So the way that this thing is paced, where it's these insane moments of action and then just an entire hour of character development, I'm in fucking love with this
because
show.
That's the type of Punisher you want to see.
That was my like Punisher, right? Yeah. Exactly. Like you look at some of the earlier stuff and it's a little more action heavy. Some of the stuff later was a little more action heavy, but like that sweet spot in the middle, like the Garth Ennis stuff and all the Punisher Max. Like, that was the Punisher for me. And so that was the thing. And watching the show, I think they pace it really well.
Interesting. Okay, well, now knowing that you're so into Punisher, let's do a rundown of the movies in order. Dolph Lundgren, 80s Punisher. Go, what you think of that one?
So I enjoy that one because it is dark and it is action heavy.
It's very 80s.
And he plays a very stone cold, non-very interactive, you know, kind of detached person.
Sure, yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah, he did pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets enough,
I don't think Dolph Lundgren gets enough credit overall, actually, for his body of work.
And for a 1980s comic book film, it's not bad.
It's a little ahead of its time for what they're doing. It seems like it fits more in the late 90s than it does 80s, for aesthetically speaking. Yeah, all right. Early 2000s, Thomas Jane, set in Tampa. Go.
I would rather have my balls raked over a fucking cheese grater than say anything positive about that fucking movie.
It was awful.
John Travolta's wig?
No, here's the thing.
Local economy got some money off that one. Come on.
You had some great characters. Like, okay, I'll say one thing.
Okay.
Kevin Nash and the Russian fight scene.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
The rest of it. Why are you putting Frank Castle in fucking Tampa?
Those are ridiculous.
Nothing good has come from Tampa. South Tampa, a lot of great things.
Yes, yeah, maybe. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. But not fucking Tampa.
Proper, no.
And then everything about it was terrible. Frank Castle's not a fucking FBI agent. What the fuck?
It was ridiculous.
I just don't understand. Like, that's what Marvel's doing so well, is that they're looking at what makes the core of these comics so good.
Mm-hmm.
They're drawing those aspects out.
Yeah.
And then they're filling in the gaps.
Yes, exactly. They found what works with Tony Stark, why everyone likes about Peter Parker. That's right. Why we got the best Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. Hands down.
Because now Marvel produced it, right? Absolutely. All right, well then, Punisher: Warzone with Ray Stevenson.
I feel like this was the closest we've gotten to a decent Punisher movie.
To a movie, yeah.
Yeah, because it did well in the brutality of it. He did such a good job of just being a badass.
Yeah, sure.
And the Punisher is a badass.
He's supposed to be.
Thomas Jane, man, that motherfucker can't take a punch. I'm pretty sure I could beat the fuck out of him. And like, I'm a teddy bear.
Like, I like Thomas Jane enough as an actor, but yeah, he doesn't feel like a tough guy. He never does feel like a tough guy.
So, Ray, you know, Ray feels like a tough guy.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they just tried to take all the action from every late 90s, early 2000s Punisher story and just cram it into one.
Yeah.
And it just, the story was, and the other thing is that
you feel it's lacking in the story and the character and stuff.
And they were too over the top. Like the Punisher is a very tactical dude.
Mm-hmm.
So to have him spinning from a chandelier with two machine guns shooting shit, it's like, come on, dude.
Boondock Saints.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah. That was very Boondock Saints. But then he blew up a parkour guy with a rocket launcher. That was fun.
That was awesome.
That was kind of cool,
That was pretty cool. All right, now we know. So then, if you could somehow transpose this series as a sort of movie, where would you rank this then amongst those Punishers? How would you rank the Punishers?
I think Jon Bernthal is the Punisher.
He is it.
Definitionally. I think he is the perfect mix of true, like, personal, hard badass.
Yeah.
And also, and discipline. And then you look at him and also there's that just fucked up confliction in himself.
The vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, just fucking crushes it, dude.
All right.
And I know it is weird, and the world sucks right now, right?
Yeah, yeah. And let's talk about that. The whole, he's a guy who solves problems with guns and stuff. And sure, he has a moral compass. He's going for the bad guys because it directly affects him, right? The whole cartel thing with his family and stuff. But is that the way? Is that something to look up to and to revere, especially in today's gun-happy society? What are we going to do about that?
So I think you got two aspects of this, right? The first one, and I'll keep them pretty simple and concise. So the first one is, he exists in the Marvel universe.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Where cops are totally inept.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole reason.
If not corrupt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that corruption and inept cops obviously exist today. There are some problems we got to fix.
Sure, yeah.
But overall, I do believe that there are a lot of good people in uniform doing great things.
Right.
Right? And so it's not in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. If somebody did this in today's world, none of us would celebrate.
It is a comic book movie. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you won't have to realize that. And then at the other end of things too, I feel like the fact that he kills the bad guys, people who focus on that as the point of the Punisher miss the point of the Punisher.
Sure.
So for instance, like I think that anything that emboldens a young man in the military who's going to go and fight for our country.
Mm.
Hey, man, if it gives you strength, do it.
Yeah.
But if you're a cop and you're putting the Punisher thing in your car, what the fuck are you doing?
To serve a community as opposed to going into a war zone.
Exactly. Yes. And human life is invaluable always. Mm. And none of us are more important than anybody else. However, like, I think you're missing he's literally a fascist who, if you think about it, like, is working in a world where he has to because cops suck.
Sure.
And then a cop uses that on his, you know, vest with a blue stripe. Dude, like, that's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is I feel as though the point in the Punisher and what I get out of the Punisher is the fact that, unlike any other comic book character, if he accepts a mission or takes on something, there is no deterrent. stab shot, beat the fuck. He gets the shit beat out of him in every story ever.
That's true.
And he fucking finds a way.
He almost dies every time.
Almost every time. So he's just a guy with guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think for us, like, we look at it and, like, of course, there's never a good time to celebrate gun violence, but it's not so much the gun violence as much as it is standing for what you believe in and being willing to do whatever it takes to push through the obstacles that you have.
It's that single-minded determination that is the draw of the character and the insane focus he has. The same thing that makes John Wick fun to watch when in the John Wick universe he goes around and kills everyone.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, oh, this is super entertaining because he's so good at it.
Frank's also got a wicked case of PTSD.
That's the thing. So that's the thing. And I was going to say, the irony then of soldiers using the insignia is that he's a character born of PTSD.
And if you're familiar with Punisher lore and if you've read Punisher Born, especially,
I was gonna ask you about that.
He's got some fucking mental issues, like, of the things he's hardcore.
Done. Yeah, the things he have to do in those.
He took out
already in the first episode.
He took out an entire Viet Cong platoon with a fucking shovel.
Yeah,
Chris,
that's what he had to do to survive. And they already allude to that stuff in the very first episode when he listens in on the meeting and his friend is with the one leg or whatever, and so. They're addressing that head on already on the show. Absolutely.
And there's a whole side story about another character that has PTSD that's heartbreaking. And I think it's important, man. I think it's important to realize, like, that they are doing a good job of exposing the fact that, yes, this is a comic book character that glorifies violence, but at the same time very much condemns it.
Yes, because he's born of something that a system that then creates these people that are capable of killing, then dumps them into a society, or now you're not allowed to do this anymore, right? But there's no support system. We say there's a support system, but there's not. People will drive around with yellow ribbons on their cars, but that doesn't do shit for a person who's, like, at home by themselves in the middle of the night.
Yeah, just fuck,
Yeah, it's a bad situation. So it is interesting that then we get a comic book series on Netflix that is then what is used to shine a light on that. But it's a good thing to put out there and to get people, hopefully get some empathy out of them, you know? But we'll see. We're gonna keep watching, Andrew, right?
Yeah.
Watch them later.
Why not?
Watch another episode later.
I'm a big fan of gratuitous violence. So in the first episode,
a bigger fan.
When he's got that sledgehammer, like the second I saw that sledgehammer, I just had the biggest smile on my face because I knew exactly what was gonna happen.
But what they did, they built that up. He was wielding that hammer. We knew that he was hitting that wall. He's trying to get the anger out. Yep. Trying to get it out. That's why he won't stop. These guys are fucking with him, and they're fucking with him. So then by the end, when he takes that hammer, when he takes his Mjolnir and smashes him, you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
Yes! Uh-huh. That felt good. That felt
it
good.
It did. It really does feel good.
But then when this happens, then it feels bad. I guess we'll find out. We're going to keep watching. But you're also behind on Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I am.
You watch any Mr. Robot, Alex?
I've seen the first season.
The first season, man. Yeah. Oh, they're going there.
It
keeps ramping.
Does it?
It doesn't stop.
It's so good.
It doesn't stop.
It's a really good show.
It's great. What happened with the second and now the third season, the creator, Sam Esmail, he's writing and directing every episode. So now there's more cohesion between each episode. Man, what a... The first season really is just like the tip of the iceberg. The third one, the things that they want to do is so crazy. The movie news segment, we're going to go ahead and cut that out because we are running out of time here. But real quick, though, Quentin Tarantino landed at Sony. Sony will be...
They won.
They agreed to Tarantino's terms. They're giving him $100 million to make his summer of 1969 epic. And they're going to distribute it, produce it, international, blah, blah, all that stuff.
Give that man whatever he wants.
Exactly, which includes a lot of money.
A lot of money.
A big paycheck up front for him. So there you go. Also, hit up Billy D at I Love Blood all over the internet. And check out Billy D's postmortem on PFTV, which is on pftmedia.com. Time for the lightning round. Here we go. Where is the there we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, here we go. Lightning round time, Alex. I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, Drew, start that clock.
Nope.
Number one, is it safe?
No.
Number two, what would be the hardest thing for you to give up?
Music.
Number three, would you eat a spoonful of mayo?
Yeah.
Number four, do you have a favorite song?
Yes.
Number five, where is your mind?
Under a rock.
Number six, would you rather vacation at the beach or in the mountains?
Beach.
Number 7, have you ever failed a class in school?
Oh, yeah.
Number 8, if you could travel back in time, to when would you go?
To 1920s Chicago.
Ooh, specifically Chicago.
Like yeah. That. Jazz.
Jazz, okay. That was early. Okay. Number 9, why are pizza rolls so hot?
You gotta make them in the oven.
That's why, right? They retain the heat.
If you put them in the microwave, they hold their heat way longer.
It's like lava.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Oven's better way. All right, there you go. Number 10, have you ever fought in public?
Yes.
Oh, that's a story for another time. Drew, break it out. We got red bag, green bag. Alex, which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
Red bag.
Red bag, here we go. Drew, break out that red bag and let's see what we got inside. Inside.
You may get to go home with... A Cars 3
puzzle.
Yeah,
in a tube.
24 pieces.
24 piece puzzle in a tube, and then amazing. you can keep the tube to put stuff in.
We've got 6 clear balloons, 12 inches filled with confetti. Warning: it's a choking hazard.
It's a choking hazard.
Keep it for
kids. Fair enough.
Or give it to kids if you
we
don't
got
like
some Pokemon Sun and Moon Burning Shadows game cards.
Nice.
We've got. Blue mouth candy, you eat it and it turns the person's mouth blue.
Yeah. You give it
joke candy.
Yeah, joke candy. Yeah. You gotta give it to someone.
Yeah, we've got some Cinema Crest movies, so bootleg copies of the Bad News Bear.
Oh, so good.
La Bamba. And, oh, I'm so sorry, Ballistics colon X versus Sever.
Oh my god.
Such an awful movie.
It is like watching the worst music video for 190 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah, and Antonio Banderas is in it for some reason. It's like, what's going on? This is so strange. So there you go. You got all that sweet stuff, or we put that bag away and never see it again. Instead, you take what we have in a box right over here. Oh my god! Look at the box!
What's in the fucking box?
What we got?
I feel like I love the movie 7 way too much to not look at what's in the box.
So we're going with what's in the box? Well, then this bag is out of here.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
One of these times it's going to be Gwyneth Paltrow's head, I swear.
Oh my god. An approximation of her head in some way. Go ahead and pop that top. Reach inside and let people know what you got.
Oh yeah. It's a thing of jelly beans in a beer can.
What kind of what flavor?
Beer flavored jelly beans.
Beer flavored jelly beans. Beer flavored jelly beans. Drew's face is disgusted because it's beer flavored jelly beans. There you go, Alex. You got some beer flavored jelly beans.
Beer, draft beer.
Draft beer.
Guarantee it tastes better than Ballistics semicolon X versus Sever.
Oh my god, so much better. There you go. You got some beer flavored jelly beans. Give this guy some stickers as well, Drew, if you don't mind. All right. Alex, thank you so much.
Dude, thank you guys. Have a lot of fun.
We have fun
you guys
too,
gotta
man.
Come out and drink at a bar with us and be on our show at some point.
Well, absolutely, yeah. We'll make that happen, and then we'll have you back too because this was great. We really appreciate it. Drew, thank you. You're
very welcome.
Thank you all for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us on iTunes, break up the big bangs, be excellent to each other, read more books, stuff your money in your mattresses. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.